Good morning. We're going to call this meeting of the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency Governing Board to order. The date is Wednesday, December 16th, 2020. It's 10:30 a.m. and we're having a virtual meeting today. And the first item on the agenda is to call the roll to determine a quorum. Maria, would you please call the roll?
Ms. Alding?
Here.
Mr. Beyer?
Present.
Ms. Birkbigler?
Here.
Mr. Bruce?
Here.
Mr. Cashman?
Here.
Mrs. Sagaski? Mrs. Sagaski? Ms. Faustinos?
Here.
Ms. Gustafson?
Here.
Mr. Hicks?
Present.
Mr. Friedrich?
Here.
Mr. Lawrence?
Here.
Ms. Novacell?
Here.
Mr. Rice? Mr. Rice? And Mr. Yates?
This is Barbara Sagaski and I'm on.
I am here.
Thank you, Mrs. Sagaski.
Welcome, Barbara. I know Wes was at legal, so I assume he'll be joining shortly.
And Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
You hear me? Thank you.
I do. Yeah.
All right. I remind everybody to kind of mute your mics while we're going through this. And I would like to introduce John Friedrich, who's joined us. City Council member from the City of South Lake Tahoe. The city just appointed him to join us at TRPA. He was at the Regional Plan Implementation Committee, and I warned him that I would give him a few minutes to introduce himself to us. So, John, if you want to say a few words.
Thank you, Mr. Yates. Yes, good to be here. John Friedrich, live a South Lake Tahoe resident, recently elected to City Council, where I served for the my second meeting yesterday. I have been at Lake Tahoe, moved here in 2005, have a daughter in ninth grade who is next door distance learning. got to know many of you in other capacities, including program director when I first moved here at the League to Save Lake Tahoe. Served on the Tahoe Fund Board, worked at Liberty Utilities managing their electric vehicle and renewable energy and efficiency programs before starting a green job workforce training project this year. That's a project of the Prosperity Center. So it's, and I just appointed yesterday to be the city's representative on the TRPA board, so grateful to be here and to join with you all.
Well, thank you, John. It's great to have you on board, and thank you for all your contributions before even joining us. And good luck also with being on the city's governing board.
Thank you very much.
So now I will now go over the meeting rules for the day. To observe the meeting, go to trpa.org. And under announcements in the center of the page, click on Listen Live Governing Board December 16th, 2020 online meeting. Members of the public can find all meeting materials under Documents/Meetings and Notices/December 16th, 2020 Governing Board Meeting. To participate in this Governing Board meeting with your comments, please utilize the hand raising function in the GoToWebinar platform at the appropriate agenda item. If you wish to make a comment about something not on the agenda, we will hear your comments during the general public comment period at the end of the meeting with your agenda item 12. With your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the governing board. If you have contacted the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency for reasonable accommodation and received a unique PIN for dial-in, please make sure you enter that PIN so that you may be identified and unmuted by TRPA staff. If you are using GoToWebinar's Instant Join web app, please make sure it's opened in the Google Chrome browser and that you allow access to your microphone in order to be unmuted. If you're joining via the audio stream, please note this is a listen-only program or option. If you wish to address the governing board, you'll need to log in via the GoToWebinar on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. To governing board members, if you wish to speak, please alert me via the chat function if you are online, or speak up if you're calling in. Please make sure you send your chat to panelists and organizers. Board members may only use the chat function to indicate desire to speak. This function must not be used to have sidebar conversations. And finally, everyone remember to mute your mic unless speaking to cut down on background noise. So at this point, it's an item for a Pledge of Allegiance, and I guess everybody unmute themselves and follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Mr. I am here.
Yes, I heard you, Wes. Yes, you're back.
Thank you.
Item number three, approval of agenda. Joanne?
Mr. Chair, there is one change to the agenda on the consent calendar. We are continuing item five, which is the alt now multiple parcel pier off calendar for today.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll deem the agenda approved as amended. We're now on agenda item number four, approval of the minutes. We have a set of minutes from the November 18th, 2020 governing board meeting. Are there any questions or comments on those minutes?
Mr. Chairman, I did submit some requested changes to my comments that were made at that meeting. And assuming that these changes have been incorporated, I'm happy to move approval of the minutes from the November 18th, 2020 governing board meeting.
Okay, thank you, Shelley. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any objection? Thank you. Sounds like the motion passes. Thank you very much. So now that brings us to agenda item number five, the consent calendar. There are five items on consent. Two items were reviewed by the legal committee, and then two items were not reviewed by any committee. And the one item was taken off the pier. So I'll pass it over now and also just a reminder here, this is an agenda item where if you do have, you want to speak to this, you ought to go and raise your hand in the GoToWebinar if you're a member of the public. But I'm going to pass it over now to Mark Bruce to give the legal committee report.
Great. Thank you very much. I'm just going to pull up my notes here. Okay, so the legal committee met this morning at the appropriate time and place and virtually, and we heard staff, and we heard from the public on two settlement related matters. We considered and deliberated the issues, and we came up with two recommendations. With respect to consent item number two, the legal committee recommends to the governing board that the approval of the settlement agreement proposed by staff with two modifications. A, that the fine be increased from $7,000 to $8,500, all of which is to be paid to TRPA, with $1,500 of that $8,500 ultimately going to the Sugar Pine Foundation, and B, to require that the newly planted tree be replaced if the newly planted tree is likely to die within the two-year period, as opposed to the fact that the tree actually dying within the two-year period. And then with respect to item number three, the legal committee recommends to the governing body, the governing board, to approve the settlement agreement proposed by staff as is.
Mr. Chair, this is John Marshall. I just wanted to add to Mark's summary that we've also checked with Mr. Fisher on the committee's recommendations for the amendments to item number two, and he agrees with the increase in fee to 8,500 and the other change to as articulated by Mark.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that update. Are there any questions regarding legal committee's recommendation? Gotta get on my little chat here and see if there are any. I don't see any. Okay, good. I will now point out that a consent calendar number one is approval of November financials. We didn't have put this up on ops. We felt it's the only item that would have been on the ops committee. It's pretty straightforward. The information is at page one of your packet. Regarding consent calendar item number four, the local government coordination report, excellent report prepared by staff on the recertification of the local government's permit delegation and memorandum of understanding. This item, again, was not reviewed by any committee, but information on this item is found at page 37, and I thought Brandy McMahon's staff report was very good. And so I think at this point, if there's any comments from my colleagues on the consent calendar, I guess it's time to open up for public comment. You go to your hand raising at the GoToWebinar section. So Catherine, are there any hand raisers?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At this time, I see no hands raised to make a public comment on this item.
Okay, well, I'll close public comment and I'll ask for a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the consent calendar as amended.
Thank you very much, Shelley. So a motion. Any questions on that motion? I assume not. So we have a motion, and Mari, would you call the roll?
Ms. Alding.
Yes.
Mr. Beyer.
Yes.
Ms. Birkbigler.
Yes.
Ms. Faustinos.
Yes.
Mr. Bruce.
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson.
Yes.
Mr. Cashman.
Yes.
Mr. Friedrich.
Yes.
Mrs. Sagaski?
Yes.
Ms. Novosel?
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence?
Yes.
Mr. Rice?
Yes.
Mr. Yates?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, that motion passes.
Thank you very much, Maria. All right, so we're now moving to item six, administrative matters. And the first one is item 6A, the Best in Basins Award. And as a reminder to the public, after staff presentation and board discussion on this item, you may raise your hand in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff to share your comments. And Jeff and I have worked out how this will be done. Jeff Cowan, our public information officer, will be making the presentation. So he will make all the presentations. And then at the after he does the last presentation, then I'll open it up if the board members have any comments about the overall awards. Jeff, you're on.
Right on. Thank you so much. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the governing board. As Bill mentioned, I'm Jeff Cowan, the public information officer for the agency. I have the honor this morning of presenting an elite group of projects completed in 2019 that are being recognized today as best in the basin. These projects and actions each exhibit outstanding planning and execution, and they lead the way in environmental stewardship in the Lake Tahoe region. This marks the 29th consecutive year the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency Best in the Basin Awards, and the ceremony always provides a moment to pause and to appreciate the hard work and masterful planning and the collaboration that goes into projects happening in the region every year. Nominees this year were projects completed in 2019, ranging from landscape scale forest resilience projects to trash pickups. In all, we are recognizing 7 projects and actions today. Thank you, Mr. Yates, for clarifying the order of events. And as I call on participants to turn on their cameras, then we'll have a couple of us on screen at a time throughout the presentation. So without anything further, here are the winners. Nice. First today in the award category of sustainability action, we recognize the Tahoe Blue Crew program that was particularly crucial in the basin this year, given an unprecedented rise in litter at public recreation areas. Please, if the project representative could turn your camera on and join us. So in 2019, the League to Save Lake Tahoe created the Tahoe Blue Crew program to help address litter problems around the region. The Blue Crews are groups, their families, and their organizations who commit to regular trash cleanups and to measuring what they collect. This year, the number of Blue Crews grew from 18 to 90. And since 2019, crews have conducted more than 400 cleanups, netting over 6,000 pounds of trash. Data collected from the Blue Crews have been instrumental in enacting change as well. The litter data has been used to support passing a polystyrene ban, a plastic bag ban in the city of South Lake Tahoe, and supported an Incline Village ban on smoking at public beaches. The initiative inspired TRPA staff to create a Blue Crew of our own and to be inducted into the program this year. From firsthand experience, I can tell you that Blue Crews have fun, but they do work very hard. So, on behalf of TRPA, we present the League to Save Lake Tahoe this very well-deserved award. Marilee?
Thank you so much, Jeff, and thank you to the TRPA for this award, and thanks to Loretta Friedel for the nomination. We really didn't know when we launched this program in fall of 2019 that it would be the perfect program during the pandemic. When resources were spread really thin with land managers, we were able to step in with our Blue Crews to combat litter in the basin. And this is thanks to all of these Tahoe Blue Gooders that we have in our family. We want to thank the U.S. Forest Service for partnering with us so that volunteers could adopt national forest lands. And we look forward to continue working with other land managers around the basin, such as the California State Parks. We also are forming new partnerships, such as with the Heavenly Mountain Resort, and we look forward to working with them on their Blue Crew this year. There's actually too many individual crews to list today, but we do want to give a special shout out to TRPA for adopting Zephyr Shoals this year. It's so awesome to see all of you getting out there. If you would like to see the full list of Tahoe Blue Crews, where they've adopted, what they've been doing to protect Lake Tahoe, you can go to our website at keeptahoeblue.org/tbcmap. Even during the winter, we're going to activate crews, or we have been, so that they can adopt winter litter hotspots, such as sledding areas. Our goal is to have every square inch of the Tahoe Basin adopted by Blue Crews to ensure a sustainable, healthy Blue Lake Tahoe. Thanks again for the recognition today.
Thanks, Marilee. All right. Well, next in the category of fuel reduction and defensible space, last year, the Nevada Tahoe Resource Team wrapped up this landscape scale forest resilience project near Spooner Lake that breaks the mold of forest fuel reduction work. Please, if the project representatives could turn on your cameras and join us. As part of the Tahoe region's climate change resilience strategy, fuel reduction projects like Spooner Landscape Resilience Project are reaching further into the forest and combining multiple goals to protect communities, recreation, wildlife habitat, species diversity, cultural resources, and to improve drought tolerance and water quality. The Spooner Project balanced each of these goals on 300 acres of Lake Tahoe Nevada State Park near the highly used Spooner Lake Recreation Area. The fuel reduction work was immense, and it connected to other previously treated areas. Helicopter yarding of large trees was necessary throughout the project to minimize disturbance. And visual quality of the project was a high priority as well. The team retained many large diameter trees, left vegetation in random clumps, cut stumps close to the ground. The project improves habitat diversity by selectively leaving down logs and nesting trees, and improves the health of underrepresented aspen stands in riparian areas. The team worked with the Washoe tribe and archaeologists to identify several clusters of cultural resource sites around Spooner and Marlette Lakes and ensured the project would avoid them. Overall, the project increases the resilience of the landscape to drought and wildfire while emphasizing many other priorities. So, to the Nevada Tahoe Resource Team, and especially to Forester Roland Shaw for his work on this and many projects, congratulations on your achievements. Mr. Donahue?
Thank you, Jeff, for that summary. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. My name is Charlie Donahue. I'm the administrator for the Division of State Lands, and the Nevada Tahoe Resource Team is housed here at the Division of State Lands. It truly is a unit within state government that works collaboratively with our partners in the basin, but also within the agencies within this department, the Division of Forestry, the Division of State Lands, Division of State Parks, the Department of Wildlife. One of the elements that made this project so successful was the work that every member of that team did. And it varied from pedestrian control, making sure that folks were able to continue the recreational access in this area while making sure they were safe. And also working with our critical partners, TRPA was critical in terms of enabling the permitting to happen, as well as one of our partners, Department of Transportation, who allowed us to use one of their sites just outside the basin for the servicing of the helicopter. That was critical. Your summary also called out the cultural significance of this area. I think the team, and in particular Roland, did a great job in terms of working and respecting the cultural elements of the park. So I just want to say thank you very much for this recognition. It was truly a team effort. Thank you, Jeff.
Right on. Thank you, Mr. Donahue. So next up in the category of public projects, the Pioneer Trail Utility Undergrounding Project converted a multitude of overhead utility wires to an underground conduit bank in a TRPA-defined scenic corridor in South Lake Tahoe along Pioneer Trail between Black Bart Avenue and Golden Bear Trail. Would the project representative please turn your camera on and join us? Right. El Dorado County and multiple utility companies partnered in the project to improve the scenic quality of the corridor, but also to enhance utility reliability and increase wildfire safety. The project relocated about 5,800 feet of overhead power lines and communication lines underground. This project was made possible through California Public Utilities Commission Rule 20A, which began in 1967. Each year, the rule allocates funding to counties from small surcharges on utility bills to move overhead utilities underground. Strong partnerships between the county and the city and utility providers are essential to prioritize projects and to ensure equitable use of the funds. While it's hard to notice what isn't there, over the years, sections of utility underground projects have made substantial scenic and safety improvements throughout the Tahoe region. So to El Dorado County and its partners, we are pleased to offer you this award today. Dan?
Hi, my name is Dan Kickard, El Dorado County. I want to say thank you, Jeff, for that summary. Thank you to Mr. Chair and to the governing board for this acknowledgement. This project's been, these undergrounding projects are a long time coming with each of the jurisdictions and their critical improvements in the Tahoe Basin. And they could not be completed without the partnership that we have between our local jurisdictions with the City of South Lake Tahoe, El Dorado County, and even Placer County on the California side, as well as with our utility providers, in this case for Liberty Utilities, AT&T, and Charter Communications. It's a key partnership between us to go ahead and get these utility districts established, and then to get the overhead utilities placed underground, providing a benefit to scenic resources in the Tahoe Basin. For folks that may or may not know, Pioneer Trail is deemed a scenic corridor by TRPA, And so this is kind of a critical component. The county's been working on with the utilities and undergrounding utilities along Pioneer Trail. And this is our second phase, and we have one more phase remaining that we hope to complete within the next 5 years. But again, I just want to say thank you to the utility providers and the staff, because they are key components in getting these types of projects complete. So thank you.
Thanks, Dan. So next up in the general construction category, the Bow Bay project is located on an idyllic bend in the shoreline of Rubicon Bay. And this is a standout project for historic renovation. Could the project representative join us? Owners John and Heather Mozart recognize the historic significance of this Julia Morgan designed home in Rubicon Bay. And they engaged a team to renovate the residence and the guest house while honoring its original form. Built in 1944, the estate known as Bow Bay was designed by famed American architect Julia Morgan, with her signature sensitivity to the surrounding topography and the environment. As you can see in the image of the interior, the trusses were designed like a ship's hull as homage to the bow-shaped bay where the property is located. Morgan was best known for her work on Hearst Castle, but she designed more than 700 buildings in California during an illustrious and award-winning career. The renovation maintained historic integrity while incorporating fire protection measures, significant landscaping, and more modern erosion control best management practices. Under a separate project on neighboring parcels, another historic building was deconstructed and donated to the Tahoe Cross Country Ski Education Association for future reuse as a lodge facility. So, on behalf of TRPA, we are pleased to present this award in the general construction category. Wyatt? You're still muted, buddy.
There you go. Good morning, Jeff. On behalf of John and Heather Mozart, the general contractor, Andreas Rickenbach, and the entire design team, I'm pleased to accept this award. The renovation of this historic residence by the Mozarts is a wonderful preservation of a unique period in Lake Tahoe's history, dating back to the 30s, when folks actually took a train from down along the Truckee River and ventured down to their properties by boat. I guess at that time, VMT wasn't an issue. Anyway, many thanks to staff, the award panel, members of the board for this recognition.
Fantastic. Thank you, Wyatt. So here we are next. Nominated in the category of public and EIP projects, this initial 3-mile segment of the Lake Tahoe East Shore Trail is helping to address a list of issues on one of the busiest and most impacted corridors in the basin. Could the project representatives join us? This section of State Route 28 is used by nearly 2,000 pedestrians and bicyclists on peak days. The corridor sees 2.6 million vehicles per year, and it's the only access route for over 1 million recreators annually to an iconic stretch of Tahoe shoreline. The shared use path is providing safer recreation access, connections between recreation areas and transit, an unparalleled recreation experience, and fewer accidents, reduced car emissions, and reduced erosion and fine sediment runoff to protect lake clarity. The roadway is also designated as a national scenic byway, and the project had to meet very high standards of scenic design. The Nevada Department of Transportation, Tahoe Transportation District, and 11 other public and private entities collaborated to deliver this high priority project of the Lake Tahoe Environmental Improvement Program, what we call the EIP. Work on the East Shore Trail is not done, however. Work continues with a transportation corridor management plan to further address parking demand and recreation access. And future trail connections to Spooner Summit will create parking areas and transit stops and more opportunities for dispersed recreation. Ultimately, the East Shore Trail will help connect the North and South Shores as part of the state line to state line bikeway and is a major step in creation of a multi-use trail encircling all of Lake Tahoe that will connect your communities, parks, beaches, and businesses. So, to the Nevada Department of Transportation and the many partners, contractors, and expert planners, congratulations on this recognition. Mr. Johnson?
Thank you, Jeff, and good morning, Chairman and Governing Board. On behalf of NDOT, Jacobs Engineering, and Granite Construction, we just want to say thank you for the recognition and this award. As many of you know, this particular stretch of trail had been discussed and planned for decades, and we're very grateful and honored that we've had the opportunity to work on this and deliver this legacy project. You know, so I just want to acknowledge the project team. As I mentioned, Jacobs, NDOT staff, and really Granite Construction, you know, through their engineering innovations and construction innovations, we were able to make this reality, and especially Granite Construction. I mean, going out there and being able to build this trail in the location that it's at without minimizing the disturbance, no environmental issues or challenges out there, and as well as, you know, keeping the motorists, keeping the traffic flowing, and keeping everybody safe, truly an outstanding effort and accomplishment. But as Jeff mentioned as well, I also want to acknowledge all the partners, the 12 agencies and the Tahoe Fund. I've worked on many projects over the year, and never to the extent of this many agencies involved, and the tremendous support that they provided and coming to the table and working with our team to make this, you know, an effort amongst all the agencies really drove, you know, getting this project done and completed. So really an agency effort, a community effort, and we're really proud to have been able to work on this and deliver it. And again, thank you for this award and this recognition.
Nice. Congratulations, Nick. So next up, also in the category of public and EIP projects, the Sierra Boulevard Complete Streets project is providing tremendous benefit to the community while addressing numerous TRPA regional plan and environmental threshold goals. Could the project representatives please join us? So this was a multidisciplinary project for full rehabilitation of Sierra Boulevard in the city of South Lake Tahoe. Complete Streets programs encourage planners across the nation to design streets to prioritize safety, comfort, and access to all who use the street, especially underrepresented groups. More than a half mile of Class 1 bike trail was added along Sierra Boulevard as a critical link to the California Tahoe Conservancy's Greenway bike trail and the city's core trail system extending from State Line to Myers and to Camp Richardson and beyond. The project stabilized areas of highly disturbed soil and directed runoff to regional stormwater treatment facilities. It improves energy conservation and reduces greenhouse gas emissions by promoting non-motorized travel between neighborhoods and commercial centers. And in keeping with Complete Streets priorities, intersections are safer with improved visibility, and the entire right-of-way has been redesigned to prioritize slower speeds and safety for all who use the road. So, to the city of South Lake Tahoe and the many partners involved in this project also, we are pleased to present this award. Would you guys like to say something?
Yes, my name is Stan Hill. I'm with the city of South Lake Tahoe, and next to me is Mark Racina. I was the project manager for the city on the Sierra Boulevard Complete Streets project, and Mark was the resident engineer inspector during construction of improvements. On behalf of the city, I'd like to thank you very much for the Best in the Basin Award for the Sierra Boulevard Complete Streets project. And thanks to NCE for submitting the application for the Best in the Basin. NCE was a design consultant that helped city through the design of construction plans and environmental documents. This was a very much a collaborative effort involving various agencies, consultants, contractors, project funders, and city staff. I'd like to acknowledge some of the agencies that worked on the project. The TRPA Environmental Improvement Program Group, I'd like to thank Shannon Friedman and Taylor Currier for their assistance. And from the TDD, Nick Havens Group, Judy Weber, Michelle Glickert, and Morgan Barrell, who no longer works for TRPA, but she was very helpful in the process of getting this project going. Of course, there's Caltrans. They were very helpful, local assistance, and There were so many folks there that assisted. They're too numerical to list. El Dorado County, thanks to Donaldo Palaron, Palaron for his assistance with the section of the street between Fountain Avenue and Barber Avenue, which is in the county or outside the city limits. And from Mahanton Water Quality Control Board, Liz Van Dypen. As I mentioned, NCE, they assisted with construction drawings and all environmental permitting, providing assistance with negotiating through Caltrans and FHWA rules and regulations that are all necessary to acquire project approval and funding for construction. Working with NCE was a very positive experience. Many thanks to Jack Norberg, Christian Heinbaugh, he no longer works for NCE, but he was very helpful in the design process. And Kirk Howell, the rest of their design, civil design group and their environmental committee and all of their sub-consultants that assisted. Contractor working on the project, they did all all the work on the ground was Herbach Engineering and their general engineering out of Minden, Nevada, and their team of subcontractors. Thanks to Greg Herbach, the owner, site supervisor Tyler MacArthur, office crew led by Peter Griffin, and the rest of their construction crew and subcontractors. Quite a bit of funding categories involved in this. We had CMAQ funding, that's the congestion mitigation air quality funding. We had surface transportation block grant funding, STBG. We had some state funding through the California Air Resource Control Board, CARB. It was actually greenhouse gas reduction funds. It was distributed to local agencies through the Caltrans Active Transportation Program. And of course, we had some local CIP funding in the project. I'd like to thank Mark, who's sitting next to me, for his resident engineering and inspector work. After all effort that goes into developing a strong set of construction documents, it's essential to have a city representative on the job to make sure the project is built in accordance with the approved plans and specifications. So Mark, thanks for all your detailed work during the construction of project improvements. And then thanks to DRPA for providing a means to acknowledge all individuals, agencies, and companies that are involved in making the Sierra Track Complete Streets project a successful project. And thanks for having this Best in the Basin Award for Sierra Track, for Sierra Boulevard Complete Streets project. Thanks.
Okay, you guys good? All right. Let's see. I think we might be last project already. Yeah, it is. So finally, also in the category of public and EIP projects, the Incline Creek Restoration Project we recognize today is a capstone of four prior projects on Third and Incline Creeks in Incline Village. Both creeks were severely impacted by earlier practices that deepened and straightened the stream channels, removed floodplains and blocked fish passage with bridge culverts and steep drops. The project reduces erosion from stream banks with rock stabilization and willow and alder revegetation and improves water quality in the lake by reducing fine sediment and restoring floodplain terraces for natural filtration. Perhaps most notable for people who visit this section of the creek is the return of spawning fish, which have been absent for decades. The project replaced a culvert from the 1950s with a modern steel truss walking bridge, regraded sections of the stream channel, and constructed rock step pool structures to allow for fish passage and to return continuity to the stream channel. So, to the Incline Village General Improvement District, congratulations on being awarded Best in the Basin.
Good morning. Thank you, Jeff, and thank you to TRPA for this recognition. I'm Nathan Shorey with Incline Village General Improvement District. We're honored to receive the Best in the Basin Award and to participate in this project to restore stream continuity to allow fish passage further up Incline Creek. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all the partners involved. Funding partners included the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection through EPA's Water Act 319 funding, and Nevada Division of State Lands through the Lake Tahoe License Plate Grant Program. The design was completed by Cardno, and the construction was executed by Aspen Developers. Without these partners' involvement, this project would not have been possible. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Nathan. So next slide, before we close, I'd like to give special thanks to these Best in the Basin judges. We asked this panel of experts from both the private and public sectors to assemble in an online format this year to assess each project in the safest setting possible. I want to thank Christina Hill, Hill Planning Incorporated, Wyatt Ogilvy, Ogilvy Consulting, Beth Vollmer, TRPA Environmental Analyst, Shannon Friedman, TRPA Senior Planner, and Kat McIntyre, TRPA Forest Ecosystem Health Program Manager. Their time and expertise were invaluable this year, and I want to thank Wyatt for not submitting any scores for his project. Well done. All right, so finally, thank you to Chair Yates and members of the board to close this part of the awards presentation. And as I hand it back to you, I want to mention that next year will be the 30th annual Best in the Basin Awards. So we are looking forward to that milestone in a very special award ceremony in a new and hopefully different kind of year. Thanks.
Yeah, hopefully a different format. Yes. Thank you, Jeff. Any comments from my colleagues about the excellent awards that we've, boy, they were excellent. I don't see any chat, so maybe I'll open it up to public comment. Is there any public comments, Catherine? This would be an opportunity for people to go raise your hand now in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff.
Mr. Chair, I do not see any hands raised to make a public comment at this time.
Okay, well, I'll close public comment. And this was a, wait a minute.
I don't want it to go unsaid by a member of the governing board that all of these recipients are certainly deserving of being recognized. And I think it goes without saying that we all appreciate their diligence and their effort to improve the Tahoe environment.
Yes, absolutely.
I would just add to that, this is John, that I've seen many of these projects on the ground. I've been a blue-gooder with the league and regularly use the City Sierra Boulevard new amenities. And these are all such impressive projects that really have added significantly to the quality of life and environmental protection of the basin. So just want to add my kudos to all the winners.
Thank you, John.
Mr. Chairman, this is Cindy. I ditto both of those comments. And also, specifically on the Bow Bay, and I know Wyatt spoke well to that, but it's been really tremendous to see what the private sector is doing in addition to our governmental and nonprofit agencies. So I'm always impressed and want to encourage our private sector and individuals to step in as well. So. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy.
Yeah, Mr. Chair. Also like to say congratulations to all the winners. Outstanding projects. I really appreciate the presentation and the work of staff and the volunteers to judge this. And thank you. Looking forward to next year's 30th year.
Mr. Chair, this is Jim Lawrence, if I could add in as well. So,
sure.
Yeah, ditto to everything that my fellow board members have said. These are all outstanding projects. And, you know, this is my favorite board meeting. I love seeing these projects and all the great work that happens in the basin. We don't always get to see that as board members as we wrestle through planning issues. So congratulations to everybody. I do feel compelled to give a special shout out to the Nevada Tahoe Resource Team for the Spooner project. Just because I know intimately all of the struggles and coordination and collaboration it took to get that off the ground, including working with finance offices and getting money in place. So I do want to give a shout out to our Tahoe Resource Team. Outstanding project. And then congratulations to all of the winners. Thank you.
Hey, Bill, Mark Bruce, could I just say just a couple words? Thanks.
You certainly may. Yes, please.
So just wonderful comments from the board about wonderful projects that make Tahoe what it is and inspire us all to make Tahoe the best it can possibly be. So I just want to thank everybody.
Mr. Chair, this is Marcia. I will just say ditto to what everybody else has said. Great projects, beautiful lake. Really nice that the private sector is doing all the stuff it's doing as well as the government. So thank you.
Thank
you, Chair. This is Barbara Sagaski, and I'll just ditto what Marcia just dittoed. And I just want to tell you all congratulations and thank you.
Any further comments from my colleagues? I appreciate everybody speaking up for these projects. They were excellent, and they're going to last a long time. Especially East Shore Trail, the work that Jim was talking about around Spooner, all these pretty significant vast improvements. It's great.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Tim Cashman. I would also just like to say congratulations to all the winners. I think they're wonderful projects. I would like to highlight the role that NDOT played in the East Shore Trail. They jumped in at a critical time and took ownership of the project. And if they had not done that, that project would still be on the drawing boards. And we are very appreciative working with the Tahoe Fund, and I know the agency as well, for NDOT to take that lead role to make that project happen.
Yeah, I agree, Tim. It's a remarkable project. Okay. I think at this point, hearing no objection, I'm going to, this was a public information item, and I was just going to close that item. And we're going to go to item 6B, which is the election of governing board chair and vice chair for beginning January 1, 2021. Again, as a reminder to the public, after staff presentation and board discussion on this item, you may raise your hand in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff to share your comments. One of the nice things I think we do here at TRPA is a smooth transition from the chair to, and so we set it up by the vice chair becomes the chair. And we split it up between the two states, Nevada and California. So I follow Jim Lawrence, I propose a motion to elect Mark Bruce, my vice chair, to be the governing board chair, and also to elect Cindy Gustafson to represent the California side as vice chair for 2021 and 2022, continuing our Nevada-California transition. And so if there's any comments from my colleagues to my proposed, to my motion.
Mr. Chair,
that is more than appropriate, and thank you for serving as you have, and I look forward to the leadership of the ensuing appointments.
Thank you, Wes. Sue, did I hear you have a comment?
Yes, ditto on that. I think these are two excellent choices. Thank you, and so appreciate your leadership over the years, and looking forward to Mark and Cindy. That would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Any other comments?
Bill, is that a nomination you made, or do you need a nomination?
No, that was me just jumping right in here to try to move things along by just simply putting forward a motion to elect Mark as the governing board chair and Cindy as the vice chair for 2021 and 2022.
I think those are wonderful selections.
Thank you.
This is Barbara, and I will ditto Tim Cashman, and thank you for your service, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Barbara. Okay, well, I think what I'll do at this point is staff to see if we have any public comments. And this is the opportunity for folks to raise your hand and go to webinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff.
Mr. Chair, I see no hands raised to make a public comment on this item.
Okay, this does appear to be kind of governing board issue. So not seeing any more comments. We have a motion. Any discussion from my colleagues on my motion? If not, I'll pass it to Maria for a roll call.
Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Mr. Beyer?
Absolutely, yes.
Ms. Burke-Bigler?
You bet. Sounds great. Yes, yes, yes.
Ms. Faustinos?
Yes.
Mr. Bruce?
To the extent that I'm allowed to vote, yes, especially for the vice chair as well.
Ms. Gustafson?
Well, to the extent I'm allowed to vote, I will say yes, especially for the chair.
Mr. Cashman?
Yes.
Mr. Friedrich?
Yes.
Mrs. Sagaski?
Yes.
Ms. Novosel?
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence?
Yes.
Mr. Rice?
Absolutely.
And Mr. Yates?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chair, that motion passes.
Thank you very much, Maria. And so according to my cheat sheet, I now pass this over to Joanne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're not gonna let you slip away quite so quietly this morning. It's my great pleasure this morning to offer some remarks of recognition and appreciation. So on behalf of the board and the agency, we do indeed wanna thank you for your 2 years of service as our board chair. If you'll indulge me some remarks here. I'm not sure that board chairs on TRPA completely know everything that they're getting into or that you knew everything you were getting into, but it certainly has been worthwhile. And I think back to, you know, you came to us as one of the drafters of the California state policy that married transportation and land use to reduce reliance on the automobile. And you have sincerely carried that passion and that expertise through your tenure. So I look back and, you know, you started by setting out this vision to expand TRPA's committee structure and its membership. And you have indeed strengthened the position of both transportation and housing in our committee structure, making sure that every governing board member had a solid and active role. Then you took on an active role in the transportation bi-state consultation during your leadership tenure. You helped strengthen those transportation partnerships and focus us on our transportation priorities. We've approved several transportation quarter plans and key transportation projects, the Highway 89, that Emerald Bay corridor, the projects on SR-28, most recently, the Main Street Management Plan. So most notably, you have encouraged us, indeed pushed us to make first priority in our threshold system update, the remake of VMT, for which some of us would like to curse you, but, you know, so be it, the role of a chair. So, there's much more here. I just wanted to note a few highlights on behalf of all of us and the board. And I will at least mention that Bill has also made, we have also made Bill the honorary captain of our boat crew. So he shares a special status for the implementation of our newly approved shoreline development plan. And for all of this, especially for your personal touch, you've guided and we've laughed with you throughout your two-year chair. So, two-year tenure. So we are presenting this beautiful framed photo of Lake Tahoe to you, and we wish we could hand it to you, but we're going to have to send it to you. And I don't go away yet, because that's not all. It's not all. In addition to this frame photo, our staff as a whole actually also has a special personal wish for you, and we wanted to express it. You'll see this photo montage up on the screen, and I'll give you a little background how this came to be. This past year has been exceptionally difficult. Everyone recognizes that the pressures are legion. We had a pandemic. We have a particularly dysfunctional political system, you know, at the national level. Right now, we've been dealing with unbelievably complex policy issues. So this year has been, you know, has had some sense of a little bit of chaotic uncertainty. And as if that wasn't enough for you to navigate during your tenure as chair, you also had your own personal health challenges, and you had to weather surgery, and you had to weather some grueling treatment afterwards. All of this while you were navigating your role as chair, and it showed just extraordinary commitment and character. And some of you may know that we on Election Day organized what we dubbed our Random Acts of Kindness Day, so that we could get our heads out of the political fray and actually put our heads into the higher purpose of life, which is showing some goodness to the world. And so staff came up with this idea on their own, and they organized this special tribute to Bill. It is a virtual card, and you can think of it as a wish that we created for you, not only to get well, but to stay well. And each and every member of staff became part of the message of appreciation. And so on behalf of the entire staff, I'm going to read what this says, because I recognize it's hard to read. And it says, in appreciation of your leadership and commitment to Lake Tahoe, to TRPA Board Chair William Bill Yates, we want to express our sincere appreciation for you and to insist on your speedy recovery to full health. Thank you for being a genuinely kind human being who is also a leader, a deep thinker, a persuader, and a success. You are admired by all of us at TRPA. Get well soon. So along with the photo of Lake Tahoe, we are also going to send you this stay well card with our staff's shared message. So thank you, Bill, for all the good times. You can pass the baton, but you can't hide, and we still know where to find you. So thank you.
I'm really so touched. It has been a great experience being on the TRPA board, and it was nice to be chair during this odd bifurcated 2-year period. The staff has always made my job as chair pretty damn easy because they're so very good. I just enjoy working with such a dedicated group, as well as my colleagues on this board. It's an extraordinary thing that we just kind of roll up our sleeves, work together straightforwardly about things that we need to do. We take on some tough issues. We accommodate one another. We expect everybody's position, the different positions between a local official versus a public member. For the 8 years I've been on here, and certainly the 2 years I was chair, I've just enjoyed. I've never seen anyone try to throw that kind of wedge issue in there that would just kind of divide us. Instead, we work collaboratively, as we say over and over again. That's hard work, but it is the way we are. And I would tell some of my colleagues, I occasionally, and I guess the word was around about, I wasn't shy about my health, but I would get a card, or I get an email, or I even had Jeff Cowan give me a demonstration on how to make my favorite meal when he ran the Blue Angel Cafe. It was just so very touching to all of a sudden just get a card in the mail or an email sent to me asking me how I'm doing and thank you very much for all that you're doing. It's those kind of things that help you get over the stuff. I mean, cancer does suck, and it's great to have that kind of support. And you all are so very special, and my colleagues and the staff. It's been a good time. It really has been. And I'm grateful for the Senate to have appointed me to this position so I could try to do what I tried to do. And everybody really pitched in. Yeah. We've done some good stuff. No doubt about it. So thank you, Joanne. This is very special. I was unexpected until we went over the cheat sheet yesterday. And I said, why are we having this, me return it over to you? So thank you. And I suppose I have to carry on the meeting here, and I will. So that brings me to the resolutions recognizing that three of our governing board members will be leaving us. Item 6C, a resolution recognizing governing board member Marcia Birkbigler, Washoe County Commissioner. Whereas Marcia Birkbigler is a 46-year resident of Washoe County and has represented the public and her community for two terms as the District 1 Washoe County Commissioner, and whereas Marcia faithfully and diligently served as a member of the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency Governing Board representing Washoe County from 2013 to 2020. Whereas during her tenure on the governing board as a member of the Local Government and Housing Committee, she reviewed and made recommendations regarding resolution of issues of great importance to local communities in the Lake Tahoe Basin and provided important direction concerning the critical housing issues facing the region. And whereas Marcia also actively pursued improvements to the transportation and transit system, serving the Tahoe region's residents and visitors as both a member of the Environmental Improvement Transportation and Outreach Committee of TRPA, as a member of the Tahoe Transportation District Board. And whereas Marcia's value to the TRPA Governing Board and staff came from her many years representing the second most populous county in the battleborn state of Nevada, and as a long-term legislative lobbyist with significant policymaking experience. And whereas when she relied on those many years of experience in policymaking, Marcia had a knack for giving clear and unambiguous policy direction at the TRPA dais, which always was well appreciated for its clarity and directness, and would show up in statements like, we don't do crazy stuff like that in Nevada. And whereas Marcia resolutely adopted TRPA's core value of epic collaboration and participated cooperatively and productively with her fellow governing board members in resolving difficult policy issues for Tahoe over the last 7 years. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Governing Board of the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency does hereby express its sincere and deep gratitude to Marcia Birkbigler for her service to the public, her community, and the Lake Tahoe region, and wishes her well in her future endeavors both in and beyond the Lake Tahoe region. Marcia, do you have any comments? I guess you can turn your mic on now.
Well, just to say thank you guys very much. Serving on TRPA has been such a pleasure. It has, you know, there's nothing more important than Lake Tahoe. And it really has been a pleasure to be able to participate in all of the various issues that needed good, solid attention. And also working with all of you guys, you have taught me so much about the lake and so much about the environment. And these are things I'll take with me wherever I go and whatever I do. And I appreciate it so much. I am planning on retiring, actually. But, you know, I've never been very good at retiring before, so probably won't be really good at it this time either. But I intend to start looking at it. So just thank you so much. Thank you for all you've done. You guys are a great team, and I know you will continue to do really wonderful things with our lake. Thanks.
Thank you, Marcia. Any other comments from my colleagues?
Yes, Bill, it's Mark Bruce. May I say Mark, a few words?
Certainly can.
Hi, Marcia. Hi. Okay. I've lived, and we've already had the honor of talking to Marcia at NTRPA.
but this is equally as special to talk to you here. I have been a resident of Washoe County since 1979, and I've seen a lot of people come and a lot of people go. And I will tell Marcia that I don't know anybody who has cared for, thought more about, and loved Washoe County and North Tahoe as much as I've seen her. And I just truly appreciate everything that you've done. And I very much am thankful for our relationship and for what you've taught me. And I'm looking forward to reaching out to you over the next 2 years from time to time to see if you have any thoughts on things. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mark, and I'll look forward to talking with you over the next few years. So thanks.
Mr. Chair, this is Barbara Sagaski.
Barbara, please.
Marcia, it has just been such a pleasure, and everything that Mark just said is a ditto. I was going to say similar things because I've learned a lot from you because of your expertise in Washoe County. Living in Clark, you know, we have different regions that we represent or that we have represented, or now I have the whole state. But I just want to tell you thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for always having a smile. I loved your smile. I love your smile. And I look forward to seeing you in the future in up north someplace. So you take care and thank you.
Thanks, Barbara. You know, we go back so far that I'm not going to tell anybody how long we've known each other. But thank you. I appreciate it. And we'll see each other, I'm sure.
Thanks. Bye.
Mr. Chair, this is Belinda, and I just want to give a big shout out and virtual hug to Marcia. She was just so welcoming to me, and I miss sitting next to her at board meetings. This is one of the real downsides of all these virtual meetings. So I just wish you all the best of luck, and you're going to be missed for sure when we get back together again. And we definitely have always really valued your input, and I'm going to miss you. All right. Good luck.
Thanks, Belinda. I appreciate it, and it's really been nice getting to know you.
Mr. Chairman, this is Bud Hicks. I'm another resident of Washoe County, and I'd like to thank Marcia for all that she's done, not only for the TRPA, but for the county, those of us who live here in Washoe County. You've done a great job, Marcia. You are a loss to the county. I'm sorry that you are leaving your job, but you've been wonderful to work with, and I was your other next door neighbor on the on the seats there, and I always appreciated your comments and your quiet assistance as I was learning the ropes. Thank you very much, and best of luck to you.
Thanks, Bud. Best of luck to you too.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is Sue Novosel. Marcia, another seat buddy that is going to dearly miss you. Always interesting conversations we had, and really appreciated everything you did for TRPA and for TDD and everything around the basin. I know you have a love for it, and you will be missed. Thank you for everything. Enjoyed it all.
Thank you, Sue. I have so enjoyed getting to know you. I have to tell you, there were times when I thought they were going to separate us because we were giggling. And there's so much. Right. It's been so wonderful about this, and just thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, I'm gonna miss a giggle partner. Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Chair, this is Jim Lawrence. So I need to add another Washoe County resident perspective here. You know, Marcia, I just want to just, you know, again, tell you what a pleasure it's been to serve on the board with you, but also just to thank you for your dedication and passion to Lake Tahoe, to TRPA, to NTRPA, to Washoe County, where I'm a resident. It's just been a pleasure, and your passion and dedication is admirable, and we're just going to miss you. So wish you the very best of luck. Like I said, during the NTRPA meeting, what I don't think I'll miss, but actually it's just such a nice trait of yours, is, like I said, there was times when we would have the same drive to TRPA back when we met in person, and I would drive that hour and show up dragging, looking for the coffee, and you just would walk in with the biggest smile. and light up the room. So I don't know how you did it. It's certainly not in my nature, but just thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Jim. You're a delight, a total delight. Thank you so much.
Mr. Chair, this is Cindy. I wanted to say a couple words to Marcia. It is phenomenal to work with you on North Shore issues because, as you know, the state lines and the county lines don't matter to most of the folks. And all of your efforts on North Shore are so appreciated. You've done a great job representing that community and your community, as well as our interests and how we make the systems work there. And I can't say enough about your positive nature and your smiling face. You're always cheerful and upbeat and positive, and I so appreciate that. Thank you, Marcia.
Thank you, Cindy. And I want to congratulate you on getting the ridgeline properties protected. And I know that's been an issue along that pass, and I think it's such a great idea that it's finally set aside in perpetuity as protected. Thank you. I have enjoyed working with my sister county and communities, and thanks for everything you do.
Thanks.
Well, Mr. Chairman, last, I guess, but hopefully not least, as some of my colleagues on the NTRPA board have indicated, we kind of lavished praise on both Tim Cashman and Marcia at the last meeting of the NTRPA. So I won't repeat all of the accolades that have already been given to Marcia, other than to say that one of her traits that is definitely somewhat unique is her effervescent personality. And I appreciate that attitude, that willingness to always smile and look for positive outcomes. And again, I hope that even though Marcia is inclined to retire, I suspect she is the sort of person who will find an outlet for her energy and enthusiasm. And so I hope that one of her focuses will continue to be Lake Tahoe. Thank you, Marcia.
Thank you. And I have so enjoyed working with my Carson City neighbor. And so thank you so much. And you know more about the lake than probably anybody I know, and I have learned so much from you, so thank you very much. And yeah, I am going to retire, but I'm not going away. I'll still have something to do.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to let Shelley be last. I just want to say, Marcia, what a pleasure it was, and we said this before at the NTRPA meeting, to get to work with you again on TRPA. I will say, you know, I know you didn't want to say how long you were working with Barbara, but we've known each other and worked together for over 35 years, and it was a pleasure to get that opportunity to do that again. So thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you, Tim, and it has been a great pleasure working with you back in my mining days before, when I wasn't worried about protecting the environment, but digging it up. So thanks, Tim, it's a pleasure, and I know you're retiring also, so I'll get the chance to say something to you here in a minute.
Marcia, I can't let Tim be the last person from the board to congratulate you. When you first came onto the board, I had this real interest in learning about what your instincts are from your political history. And what I walked away with after 7 years of working with you is your candid humor and your go-forward attitude. And I really enjoyed the banter that we had when we were meeting in person. So congratulations and Godspeed and good retirement.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I feel the same way.
So as chair, I always get to go last, but the NTRPA, which I wouldn't have, but TTD, I mean, the heartfelt appreciation for all that you've done, Marcia, and what everybody said, for me, it was like, Clem and I would pile in very early in the morning and we come drive up the hill to a meeting, whether it was at the Chateau or at the event center or at TRPA's office. And we just kind of stumble into the meeting, but you were always the smiling face right there. And if I did get out of control, you at the break would kind of grab me on the shoulder and kind of clarify what the issue might possibly be. And I say, okay, we'll work on that. And, it was a real treat, and you're one of the people that really helped me get get through the early days of catching up with all the acronyms and everything else about how this place works. And you will be missed. You really will be missed. That smiling face, that positive attitude, it really helps. It helps the board a great deal. So thank you.
Thank you, Bill. And I have to tell you, it's been such a pleasure working with you as chair this year. You have a sense of all the things that are so important to us in this beautiful area. And I just really have appreciated your guidance and your leadership. It's been great. And so thank you. I will miss you all very much.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Okay. Well, I have another resolution coming up. And I don't know. Marshall, help me out here. We have public comments also on each one, I think, also.
You can do that collectively at the end if you'd like.
Why don't we do that collectively at the end? Because I think we're all going to want to say something nice about our colleagues and have one at the end for the public. Okay, great. So this is...
Mr. Chair, this is Joanne. Just to note, the photo that you see on the screen is a framed print that we will be sending to Marcia just on behalf of board and agency to say thank you for her service. So just wanted to note that that's what you see on your screen.
It is right. And thank you so much. I have a whole Tahoe wall, and it's going to be a centerpiece right in that wall. Thank you.
That's beautiful. So I'm at, well, we have a motion regarding that resolution. So I'll accept a motion to approve resolution number 2020-blank, recognizing governing board member Marcia Burke Bigler, Washoe County Commissioner, for her service to the Lake Tahoe region.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Cashman. Thank you very much. And I will do a voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 All right. Thank you. Next is item 6D, resolution recognizing governing board member Tim Cashman. That resolution information is page 109 of your packet, and we'll hold off public comments until at the end of the next two resolutions. And I will read the resolution, and also we have commissioned a photo for board member Cashman too. This is a resolution recognizing governing board member Tim Cashman, Nevada at-large member, for his service to the Lake Tahoe region. Whereas Tim Cashman has deep roots in the state of Nevada as a Las Vegas native with a family legacy going back more than a century. Whereas the Cashman family has contributed to the community through civic service, family-owned businesses, including car dealerships, heavy equipment dealers, and Harley-Davidson motorcycles. And whereas Tim also has a long history of community service on the Nevada Department of Transportation's Blue Ribbon Task Force, the Nevada Electric Energy Policy Committee, the State of Nevada Commission on Ethics, trustee of the Kaiser Foundation since 2004, and service on the Tahoe Fund and Nevada Taxpayers Association boards. Wow, Tim, where did you find the time? Whereas Tim Cashman has steadfastly served as a member of the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency Governing Board as Nevada's at-large member, selected by his Nevada Governing Board colleagues each year since January 2009. And whereas during Tim's tenure on the Governing Board, he led Operations and Governance Committee's oversight of TRPA's financial health and management as chair of the committee for 7 years from 2012 to 2019. And whereas Tim always provided sound guidance on the agency's financial management, including advice on the restructuring of TRPA's building debt that allowed TRPA to redirect savings to high priority operating needs. And whereas Tim was instrumental in the successful update of TRPA's strategic plan in 2009, which set the agency on a trajectory of transformational positive change. And whereas Tim's deep relationships with Nevada's elected officials contributed to TRPA's success and the epic policy decisions of the 2012 regional plan update, the first comprehensive update in 25 years. the 2018 Shoreline Plan, the Development Rights Update, and the Highway 50 Community Revitalization Project. And whereas after 11 years of service to TRPA on behalf of the state of Nevada, Tahoe's communities, and the public at large, he deserves to enjoy a little rest and relaxation riding his motorcycles and enjoying fishing around his new digs in Montana, as well as boating here at his roots in Lake Tahoe. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Governing Board of Tahoe Regional Planning Agency does hereby express its sincere thanks and gratitude. Lost my place. Let's do this over, Bill. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Governing Board of the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency does hereby express its sincere thanks and gratitude to Tim Cashman for his years of service to the Lake Tahoe region and wishes him well in his future adventures, both in and beyond the Lake Tahoe region. So, Tim, you're up.
There we go. Well, thank you, everyone, for the wonderful resolution. I will say that it's been my great pleasure and 11 wonderful years working with the dedicated staff and board members of the TRPA. We've accomplished a lot since 2009, and Bill mentioned some of those. I really feel like we learned a lot, and I think the biggest accomplishment, you know, we did the regional plan update, we did Shore Zone, we did hard things, we did the Main Street management, working on the Main Street management plan, change in Kings Beach was the first really controversial thing that issue that we took up. The thing that I think really was the most interesting and important accomplishment was we did it together as a board. And I was always struck, I always remember back when we were doing the regional plan update, Mara Bresnik, who was not in favor of what we were doing, knew that she was one of two votes that were probably going to go against it. But at a critical point in our deliberation, she said, you know, I know I'm not going to win this, but if we're going to do it, we need to do it right. And she went on to work with John and with Joanne to make some changes she thought were important so that it would stand the test, legal test. And that was really, to me, one of the greatest examples of a board member putting aside their maybe personal beliefs and really working for the benefit of the lake, which everyone has done for a long time. I want to thank the staff. I'm very proud of the work that everyone in this organization has done. A very, very talented group. John and Joanne and Chris. And I really want to thank Maria for being the glue that holds everything together, I think. And for making sure I always had my corner seat that I understand there's going to be a bit of a fight for, Maria, so I'm not quite sure how you're going to negotiate that, but good luck. I'm very, very proud of the work that Joanne's done. We came in together, she listened when I had things to say and talked about the customer service, about what the kind of product that the TRPA delivers to their constituents and their customers. She worked hard to build staff morale and development and the bonuses and through some very, very difficult times. And she really has changed the public perception of the agency, the morale at the agency. And I'm very, very proud of what you've done, Joanne. I guess in closing, I'd like to thank the NTRPA for letting me serve, letting a businessman from Las Vegas come up and do good for the lake for 11 years. Good luck to everyone next year. You've got some pretty weighty issues, I think, coming down the road, and not the least of which will be I think, a burgeoning issue in sustainable recreation and maybe carrying capacity, and that'll be a really tough thing. So what you do is so very important. I feel honored to have had the opportunity to participate, and I must say I had a lot more hair when that picture was taken, and I kind of like that one better than my current, but it's the way it goes in 11 years. So thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, this is Barbara Sagansky.
Yes, Barbara.
I don't want to take your place. If you want to go first, you go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Okay. Colleagues, please.
I wanted to say to Tim, I don't even know where to start. I've known you and your family for so many years, and I just thank you so much. When I first realized I was going to be the Secretary of State and I got to be on the TRPA, I called you and we talked about everything from soup to nuts. And I just can't thank you enough for your wisdom, your guidance. I've called you on several occasions on different issues that we've had to vote on. And I want to thank you for all of those calls and how receptive you've been. But thank you most of all for your friendship over the years. And don't ever think that I won't be calling you again, because I think I even called you and asked you to bring milk home one time, and you told me that you were married to Denise, not me. And I realized that I had called you instead of my husband. So I always want to apologize for that. But thank you, Tim, for everything, for all the wisdom, all the votes, all the information that you've been able to share with me over the years, and most of all for your friendship. You will be missed, but not forgotten, and I will call you.
Thanks, Barbara. I'll try and get them to remember the milk next time.
Milk, ma'am, is not on the resolution. I should have been on there. Sorry.
Mr. Chair, this is Jim Lawrence.
Jim.
Thank you, and thank you, Tim. You know, 11 years on TRPA board and NTRPA. 11 years ago, I was the administrator for the Division of State Lands. For whatever reason that nobody can find in statute, but Division of State Lands serves as the staff to NTRPA, and so that was my role back then. And we had a vacancy, and I remember working with staff at the time in our attorney general's office to go through the process. And I remember seeing these applications come in, and I remember your interview. And I remember as staff, I certainly couldn't have preferences or biases, but I remember your interview and listening to you speak and thinking what a great fortune it would be to have you on the NTRPA and TRPA board, not knowing that my career would take me a little bit different direction, and then I'd have the honor to serve with you on the board for TRPA, for NTRPA, and also with the Tahoe Fund. And I know how much work you do behind the scenes to make everything happen, and you're such a humble person, you would never talk about it, but sincere appreciation and thanks for everything you do for Lake Tahoe and for the state of Nevada. It is extremely admirable, and I'm just so glad I got to work with you on the TRPA board and in these other endeavors. So I wish you the best of luck. Thank you, Tim.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate your leadership on the board and working with you on the Tahoe Fund board and doing all the great things that we do for the lake, that you do for the lake and have done for a long time. So thank you.
Mr. Chair, it's Cindy. I need to say a few words as well. Thank you. Hey, Tim. Well, you know, everybody's covered so much about your character and your wisdom, your leadership, your demeanor. You're always calm but precise in your questioning and thought process. I've always appreciated that. Your financial expertise and operational expertise that you've brought to TRPA and the Tahoe Fund, and allowing me to twist your arm a bit to join our board and the Tahoe Fund, and really appreciating your leadership through especially the East Shore trail project and your political connections that helped us achieve some attention at the state level to resolve those issues. And you are going to be so missed. I was glad we got one more meeting with you because I panicked last meeting that I didn't know you were leaving. But I'm so thrilled that I got to serve for at least a brief period of time virtually with you on the TRPA Governing Board, and really wish you the very, very best.
Thank you, Cindy. You didn't mention that you twisted my arm and then made me chairman the next year and a half after.
Well, you know.
It has been a pleasure, and congratulations on being elected vice chairman, because that means that you get more and more to do. And that's nobody better to have more to do than you.
Thanks.
Mr. Chair.
Hi, Bill, Mark.
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Mark. Oh.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Go Sue, and then Mark.
All right. Thank you. Tim, just want to say thank you. What a pleasure it was to have you around the corner from my seat, and really enjoyed our time together. And, you know, you were always a great sage to you know, when I had questions, I really appreciated running over and grabbing a cup of coffee and then grabbing you to talk to. I really appreciated all that conversation. And thank you again. Good luck.
Thank you, Sue.
Mark?
All right, Tim, I got to sit next to you in the corner. We've talked about this at NTRPA. Somehow I got demoted. So yes, I think a lot of people are gonna be fighting for that seat, for the snacks. They get to a high profile because they're right underneath the screen above. So everyone looks at you the whole time during the meeting. And but I think the reason it's gonna be less popular than you think is because a lot of the reason people want that corner is to sit with you and to talk with you and to understand what it is you're thinking and have sidebars and on issues that don't even relate to TRPA, just to see how you're doing and what's going on in Tahoe and in Las Vegas. One of the things that I thought, one of the things I think about you, Tim, is just the vast goodness that you bestow upon the state of Nevada. I mean, when I think of Tim Cashman, I think of somebody who loves Nevada, and not in a selfish way and not in a divisive way, but in a very servant-like way. You've done very well for yourself, and you could have just taking your time and your assets and gone and done something else with it. But you decided to give your time and your energy to a lot when it comes to Nevada, especially Lake Tahoe, and we're thankful for that. You mentioned at the NTRPA that you took 120 flights between the time that you're appointed and now, and just to serve on this board, not to mention the harrowing, I'm sure, trips from Reno Tahoe International up Mount Rose Highway to make sure that you're in the basin, and to come from Las Vegas on such a regular basis and to always be at the meetings and to always be so attentive is something that I really admire in you. The other thing that just really strikes me is that I never know what your comments are going to be. I mentioned this at NTRPA. I never know what your comments are going to be, but I always do know that they're going to be insightful and thoughtful, and they're not going to be at all divisive, but they're going to help us understand the matter before us a lot better, and I really truly appreciated that. So I wish you the best in Montana. I'm excited that you'll still be in Tahoe from time to time, and please drop in and see us, and we'd love to continue thinking about you and feeling about Tahoe the same way that you do. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate your comments. I appreciate getting to know you and your friendship, and Again, with Cindy, best of luck to you and the rest of the group as you navigate the next couple of years, next 4 years and beyond. So thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is Marcia.
Yes, Marcia, you warned him. You had some comments.
I did warn him. Tim, I can't thank you enough for your participation in the issues of Incline Village, which of course have been interesting and educational for me, but your sage advice whenever I felt like I was going to bang my head against the wall, because it was, after all, Incline Village, and I appreciate the times that you were there and were able to guide me and give me some insight into what's going on up there. We're going to miss you in Nevada, and I hope you don't stay away too long. I hope you come back lots. You have been a long time, very special advocate for this state, your whole family. And I know we all love you, and we're all going to miss you very much. And thank you for everything you've done.
Thanks, Marcia. I appreciate it.
Mr. Chair, this is Bud Hicks. And, you know, again, I'd like to echo all that has been said about Tim. You know, you're an amazing person, Tim. You're an amazing Nevadan. You've been very generous, not only with your time, but also with your fortune. And I hearken back to the days that you gave the state of Nevada a beautiful customized Harley Davidson for the sesquicentennial celebration. I don't see that, something like that, in the parking lot of the TRPA, and it's missing, I would suspect, if you have an extra one laying around somewhere. But thank you very much. I've learned so much watching you in action at the TRPA. And I've personally witnessed your financial expertise on the operations committee, and I don't know how you're going to be replaced. You've done a wonderful job. You've been a great example, and you're a good friend to all of us. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bud. It was a beautiful motorcycle. It's down here in the State Museum, if anybody wants to come look at it.
Well, Tim, this is Belinda. I just want to also express my appreciation for all of your service. I had the privilege of being next to you a few times when we, bumped computer wires trying to get hooked up many times. And I really admire all that you have done for Tahoe and, for the state of Nevada. It's pretty amazing, being involved in these kind of public service opportunities. We're very fortunate to have people of your caliber serving. So I wish you all the best of luck. And I know a few nonprofits in Montana that you can work with there. So we'll have to chat. All right. Well, all the best and take care.
Thanks. One does. As one who gets on a plane to fly up, I commend you on your commitment to the lake and hope you enjoy it as much as I did, and I know you do.
Well, Tim, this is Casey, and I when I first got on the board a little over 11 years ago, Tim was one of the first people who walked up to me and recognized that I was a native of Nevada, and he wanted to remind me of that every time I was at the board meetings. He was a consummate leader from not only the Nevada side, but he understood the politics of California probably better than anybody. When I was a board chair several years ago, when we'd get the agenda pack and go through it, I would always think and ask Tim, what would Tim do with this project, or what would Tim do with this policy? And he was always very candid and straightforward with his response, and I relied on him greatly as a mentor during my tenure. So, Tim, we're going to miss you, but Montana is a great place to hang out. I know several people up there. If you're looking for fishing partners or the like, let me know. Congratulations on 11 great years of serving not only Nevada, but the Lake Tahoe Basin.
Thanks, Casey. It's been a pleasure. In my remarks, I meant to highlight the two folks, yourself and Shelley, who were both on the board and when I got started, and both of you have helped me so much learn about the lake and learn about all things to be a better steward. So I appreciate your help and guidance, and especially your friendship over the years, and we've had some fun together.
Hey, Tim, that was a great segue. Thank you. I also, you know, I don't think that there was ever any competition when your yearly reappointment was being considered as Nevada's at-large member, which is a real testament to how well-liked and respected you are. And I also want to spend a little time highlighting, which is done, was done in the resolution that was put together by TRBA staff, highlight your dedication to philanthropic causes, because as you'll remember, you were very instrumental in helping to secure some funding for an organization that I helped to found. And I know it was largely because of your urging that the Capital City Circles Initiative received some very important assistance financially. And in that respect, and in many other respects, you were extremely well balanced, not only in terms of your success as a private businessman, but your involvement in organizations like TRPA, but also all of these various philanthropic causes, which you have given so much time and energy to. And I thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. And as I mentioned at the NTRPA meeting, whoever claims your seat is going to have to be our informal timekeeper, you know, when it's time for us to be able to stand up and stretch, I can always rely on Tim to leave his seat, stand up, you know, move to the corner of the room, and subtly suggest to TRPA and the board chair that it's time for a much needed potty break. So, Tim, thank you, and best of luck to all of your future endeavors, and enjoy your time in Montana. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Shelley, and thank everyone. I can remember going to your office and interviewing with you prior to my initial appointment, and it was a little intimidating, I must say, because you are you pull no punches and you tell it like it is, and you're a staunch advocate for the people, and I've always appreciated that, and always been able to rely on you to keep the personal focus on what we do around the lake and have done. And it's been a pleasure, and as I said, an honor to serve with you and Casey for 11 years and pretty much everybody else. So thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is John Friedrich, and Tim, we served together on the Tahoe Fund board about a decade ago, and I'm sorry we don't get to serve together here, but I will appreciate you know, the legacy that you've created, and every time I'm on that East Side Trail, it doesn't surprise me that you were a key mover in bringing that to fruition. So I just wanted to you know, say thank you for all your service, and I've appreciated watching your accomplishments from the outside. So best wishes and happy trails as you head up at North.
Thank you, and good luck with your new position, and I wish everybody well. Wish you well.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, Tim, I think I've said this to you before, but I always felt you kind of held the center. Ever since I came on the board, you were someone whenever you were saying something, it got staff's attention, and it got all of us on the board thinking about, is this the appropriate thing? There's always great questions of staff, but also just your persona, and you will be missed. It's hard to do that, and all the things that you've done. I'm grateful for the opportunity to have served with you. That was that's been very nice. And Montana, Big Sky, I hope you really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Special place.
Thanks, Bill. That's going to be summers and winters in Las Vegas, so I'm not leaving Nevada, and occasionally back up to the lake. I appreciate you taking the reins and leading the organization as you had over the past couple of years. It's an important job, and you've done it very well. And I know Mark and Cindy and those that follow will do equally as well. But I've appreciated getting to know you and your balance as it relates to the lake. And I remember when you and Clem were coming on, there were some questions about just exactly how a couple of environmental attorneys were going to handle their handle us as a group, and you both did remarkably well. And I said to Clem, I'm a pleasure serving with both of you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was. Some people said it was going to be a rancorous group, but it really has not turned out to be that way at all. And people like you helped make that. Thank you. So we have need for a motion to approve resolution number 2020, recognizing Governing Board Member Tim Cashman, Nevada at large member, for his service to Lake Tahoe.
So moved.
So moved.
Here, Marcia made that motion. Okay. And any discussion? I think we've had plenty of discussion. So why don't we just conduct a voice vote? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Great. Thank you very much. Tim, take care of yourself. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
But don't leave now because you're still on the board. Let's see. The next resolution is for Brook Lane. And Brooke is not able to be with us today because she has some illness in her family, which I was sorry to hear about. But this is item 6E, resolution recognizing Governing Board Member Brook Lane, City of South Lake Tahoe representative. That's at page 111 of your packet. And after reading the resolution for Brooke and also comments, then we'll open it up, all this for public comment. And so, a resolution recognizing Governing Board Member Brook Lane, City of South Lake Tahoe representative, for her service to Lake Tahoe region. Whereas Brook Lane is a dedicated public servant with a rich family legacy in South Lake Tahoe, California. And whereas Brook honored her mother Dell's legacy as the first female mayor of the City of South Lake Tahoe by serving as mayor twice herself in 2002 and 2019. And whereas Brooke participated in many TRPA meetings during her multiple terms on City Council over the decades and served as a governing board member from 2019 to 2020, where she strengthened the key relationships between TRPA and the city. And whereas Brooke's deep understanding of the community and needs of local small businesses stems from her family's company, Lane Associates Photography, which also resulted in Brooke's stellar headshots and her many successful campaign materials. And whereas Brooke's immersion in the community and leadership in Sir Optimus International has supported scholarships for countless young women and created the program A Fighting Chance to combat child abductions. And whereas Brooke's alma mater, UC Santa Cruz's Banana Slug, is the antithesis of Brooke's work ethic, as she often weaves deeply into complex land use planning matters in staff summaries and board deliberations. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Governing Board of the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency salutes Brooke for her service and dedication to thoughtful dialogue that drives consensus on challenging policy matters and wishes her well in her future endeavors. And I have, was sent to me by staff, Brooke's written comments here. I have to kind of mixed media here, so it's going to take me a moment to find those. I thought I had it easy to find. Here it is. Here's the note from Brooke. I'm sorry that I'm not able to be with you this morning. I want to thank my colleagues for welcoming me to the board over 2 years ago. I've never aspired to join the TRPA governing board. I'm grateful for the experience. Who would have known of the importance of understanding the details of TMDL, ADU, BMP, VMT, VHR, AIS, Shore Zone, Transit, Highway 50, Main Street, WTF, many exclamation points. I'm so grateful the staff of TRPA is well-entrenched, professional, knowledgeable, and kind. The leadership of TRPA is beyond words. Marquetta, forward thinker, wise, strong. Hester, experienced and passionate. Marshall, straight shooter, experienced, confusing, many exclamation points. And Reagan, cloner, many exclamation points. My takeaway is the idea that two states, California and Nevada, could work together cooperatively to form an even more powerful alliance that would garner the support of the federal government is a game changer. The alliance between the local government, private sector, state governments, in addition to the federal government, is the key to preserving the pristine, magnificent natural wonder that we call Lake Tahoe. There were many before us, and there will be many after us, that will continue to work towards preserving the environment while supporting the economic base that allows us to continue to call Tahoe our home and our playground. Carry on. Continue to be an example of cooperation and collaboration. Together we can do this. All my best, Brooke. So, any comments from my colleagues while I get myself back together here to...
Mr. Chair, it's
yes.
Sue.
Sue.
Thank
please.
You. I would like to say, it's first I want to say how scary it is that I knew all those acronyms quickly and easily. But you know, it's so like Brooke. She's so witty and such a personable person that she would say say such a thing and have such kind words for everybody. She's gonna be missed, and she had some great comments and had wonderful input for the 2 years that she was on TRPA that I served with her, and I really appreciated her time on the board. So I just wanted to tell her thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Yeah, it is sad when you do kind of remember all those acronyms, and I was thinking of Barbara as soon as I saw that on the resolution.
Exactly.
Okay.
I still have all my pages of my acronyms in case you need them.
You know, that should be a volume we pass out to John and any of the others that come on board, Barbara. That's probably not a bad idea.
I think that's a great idea.
Mr. Chair, this is John Friedrich. Yeah, so I guess in that spirit, I want to TYBL for her service to SLT and TRPA. And big shoes to fill, I think. If there's a political dynasty in South Lake Tahoe, it's the Lanes. As it was noted in the comments, both she and her mother, Dell, were mayors twice. Her mother still with us, age 90, and quite a groundbreaker. And Brooke is, as was also mentioned, always very, I know she did her homework, both at the city council and her TRPA board, read every bit of staff reports, took that job seriously, and really did dive into the details, and has been, you know, a tremendous resource to me in getting up and going, and just a really a wise counsel, someone who's widely respected in the South Lake Tahoe community, and I'm grateful for her service and her mentorship, and big shoes to fill, and certainly wish her well in her next adventures.
Thank you, John. I know after reading this, I actually Googled Lane photography and then found a wonderful tribute written in the Tahoe Tribune about her father, which then also talked a lot about her dad and her mother and their involvement in South Lake Tahoe. And it is a rich history of Lane's that, and I had a few when Brooke came on, we had just gotten through approving the Main Street Management Plan, but there was still some consternation within the city about the whole issue. And she came up to me immediately at the first meeting at the Chateau that I was chair and said she wanted to get together with me. She had some issues. I said, great, let's do that. And so we got together some middle week. I came up and we had a very nice lunch at Sprouts, and she told me the world, according to Brooke Lane, regarding Main Street and how hopefully this would get worked out. And I thought, well, that's terrific. I think we can do this. Sadly, the virtual process has not allowed me to be that to be able to do that much the last couple of years. But I really enjoyed her ability just to immediately start right in and say, I want to talk to you about this. And we just got right down and did it. So so I have another motion here for to approve resolution number 2020, recognizing governing board member Brooke Lane, City of South Lake Tahoe representative, for her service to the Lake Tahoe region. And so I'm going to make that motion.
So moved.
Thank you, Shelley. And I will conduct a quick voice vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Thank you very much. So now I will open it up for any public comments any members of the public who've been online would like to make about the three retiring members of our governing board. And you can go to the webinar at the hand raising spot, and staff will recognize you. Catherine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Steve Teixeira, you can go ahead and address the governing board.
Thank you, Chairman Yates and members of the board. Steve Teixeira, veteran of many TRPA meetings and probably knowing every TRPA governing board member back to the early 1980s. I certainly do want to add my thanks for their service to Marcia Birkbigler. Marcia and I also served on the TTD board together. To Tim Cashman, who chaired many meetings and always made sure to ask if I had any comments to make at committee meetings. Appreciate that, Tim. And also to Brooke Lane, who of course I attended many city council meetings with Mayor and Council Member Lane. And just want to mention her mother, Dell, who was a great mayor of the city of South Lake Tahoe and chair of the Tahoe Transportation District Board for many years back in the 1980s. I also want to congratulate Member Mark Bruce as new chair for the next 2 years, Supervisor Gustafson, vice chair for the next 2 years, and Mr. Chair, you, thank you for your tremendous service over the past couple of years as the board chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Catherine?
Mr. Chair, there are no other hands raised to make public comment.
Okay, thank you. So I think that'll close this item and we'll move to item 7. It's been a while and there was reference to the fact that this might be the moment where Tim would get up and stretch. So does anybody feel like a 5-minute stretch here would be appropriate before we go into this item 7 and the next item?
So moved.
Okay. All right. So let's do make it short. So let's say it's now 12:35. Let's try to get back by then. How's that? Thank you very much. Brief break. Reconvene us here. I have. So we're gonna move to item 8A, the 2021 watercraft inspection fee structure. It's page 117 of your packet. It's as a reminder to the public, after staff presentation and board discussion on this item, you may raise your hand in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff to share your comments. And I'm gonna pass it over to Joanne to introduce this item. Hi, Joanne.
Hi there. Thank you for that, Mr. Chair. I would like to do some stage setting comments on this so you have a better understanding of just exactly where we are on this issue this year. We have some good news and some bad news in our AIS prevention program. And I'm going to start with the good news. And that is we continue to lead and to operate one of the highest profile protection programs against against new AIS infestation in the West and, you know, perhaps even in the country. This is our 12th year with some continued success and no new invasions. Our program is recognized by the states as a real standout and to be emulated, and our congressional delegation is also highly supportive of this program and continues to support us with funding, authorizations, and appropriations. As a measure of that continued success, we intercepted double the number of infested boats this season from past years. So we can call that a success for the lake, for the public, for the economy here. And that's why we consider maintaining the integrity and the rigor and the effectiveness of our prevention program is, you know, you can think of it as job number one. So that's the good news. Now the not so good news. And like everything else that we've experienced this year, everything else that's changing, all these new pressures that we're facing, we are facing some new pressure in the prevention program as well. And most notably, we have a growing gap between our costs and our revenues. And some of that gap is due to some escalating staff costs, the staffing costs for the inspection stations, and the need to pay higher wages simply to hire, you know, to attract and hire and retain qualified and well-trained inspectors. And simply said, the success of this program is highly dependent upon quality staffing. The added pressure this year is coming also from some expected budget cuts. We're looking at, you know, potentially something between $100,000 and $150,000 reduction from state appropriations. And so in addition to, you think of this as cost escalation and revenue cuts, we're also experiencing some added pressure in the operations of the inspection stations, most notably in the form of our boaters who are demanding a greater service orientation from us. They want certainty in the inspection process. And so to that end, you'll hear we're proposing a new reservation system that's going to add some reliability, but it also adds, of course, an increment of cost. Another growing pressure here is we are seeing an increase in the number of new boaters. We're all aware that, you know, governments across the board are encouraging the public to get outdoors during these times of COVID and recreate outdoors, and they are. And that means we've seen more Tahoe in and out boats, and therefore we're having to contend with some more time-consuming decontaminations. So fundamentally, we have a cost gap that has to be filled to continue to operate this program at its top tier status, if you will, and really cut no corners on this program. So realizing that there was no single solution to address both the cost side and the value side of the equation, if you will, we came at this problem from two directions this year related to how to fill that cost gap. First, on the cost side, we asked ourselves, how do you close a gap on these escalating costs of operations when we weigh it against our expected revenues? Not to begin to address those escalating costs actually turns this small incremental problem into a growing large problem. And we are planning to come back to the governing board at a later date with a longer term financial strategic plan for our AIS prevention program, where we look at engineering into it some more efficient operation assumptions. The second part of the perspective here that we had to take was on a value side proposition. How do we give our boaters the certainty that they desired in the inspection process? In other words, how do we give them a time certain and a guaranteed experience? And so you're going to hear a proposal today, and it may seem slightly counterintuitive, but it is a convenience fee system. We looked at how this works in other systems, something like a, you know, a Southwest Airlines convenience fee that we'll talk about, but consumers are actually willing to pay a small sum for certainty and convenience. So you're going to hear that as part of our proposal today. And what we've discovered is where we have an assured cost gap that we need to fill and assured convenience, a guarantee of convenience can be a proven basis for a charge. So Tom Booz is going to walk you through in more detail on the proposal for this year's, what we think is a relative, is a minimal fee increase, all things considered, and the reasoning for the package that we've brought to you today on both the cost side, trying to fill the cost side, as well as the value proposition side of this. So right now we're coming to you with a single year proposal. As I mentioned to you, we'll be focusing on this season now to make sure that it goes well. But once COVID is behind us, and there is light at the end of the tunnel here, we plan to bring forward to the board a longer term strategic financial strategy so that we no longer need to continue to draw on reserves to operate this program. And that strategy will be coming to you. We'll get this season's operations on the ground, and then we'll bring that strategy to you sometime shortly after next boating season. So with that, I'm going to turn this over to Tom Booz. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Joanne. Thank you, Chair and members of the board. As she mentioned, I'm going to discuss with you the 2021 watercraft inspection fees and operations, and I am the AS prevention coordinator with the agency, and I apologize, my camera worked about an hour ago and I can't seem to get it to function at the moment, so I apologize for that.
Okay, Tom, I'm glad you told me that. I was thinking you've been blanked out. Okay.
Yeah. The purposes for the governing board's approval for the watercraft inspection fee schedule. And a little bit of program background. Joanne touched on it. You know, this is a really high priority program in the basin. It's a gold standard in the nation, and we haven't had any new invasions in the last 12 years since the program began. And I need to emphasize the importance of the Tahoe Resource Conservation District. We partner with them through contracting to implement the program. And the successes that I'm going to talk about, the successes that we've had, are directly related to that partnership that we have. The high level of coordination and communication has been super successful. So the AIS program, the Watercraft Inspection Program, requires an inspection and the purchase of a sticker to launch into the lake solely to prevent the introduction of any new aquatic invasive species. The fee categories for the stickers are based on boat size, and we ask for fees for both inspections and decontaminations. There's three types of stickers: a Tahoe only, which are those boats that don't leave Lake Tahoe. Tahoe in and out is an annual fee, and you can come back and get as many inspections as you want, and a single inspection pass. And lastly, we've had one fee increase in the last 8 years. So a little bit of 2020 recap. As everything, it's been an unprecedented year. I'm sorry, I should say next, but you're doing a great job, Tracy. It's been an unprecedented year, and the Watercraft Inspection Program overcame many, many challenges. They kept coming at us week after week after week in the beginning of the season. And overall, in my humble opinion, it was highly successful. And a lot of that was due to the partnership that we have with the RCD and all the different launch facilities across the lake. To begin the program this last season, we started with a phased approach, trying to minimize the number of boats that were coming to the station so we could make sure that we were ensuring that our staff and the public was safe from COVID concerns. Following that, all inspections were done by appointments, except for the 4th of July weekend. And as Joanne mentioned, the inability to hire staff, we had to only open three stations because we just couldn't fill those gaps. We had to use TRPA staff a couple of times to fill that need based on the demand. it was a record year. There were more boaters visiting. That demand just kept coming and coming, a lot more newer boats, which means they need to be inspected and potentially decontaminated. But we proudly met our normal capacity. And I'll explain how that happened a little bit later with the appointment system. And lastly, we listened to our boaters. I mean, we had more interaction with the boaters than ever before because we implemented this new system and people were confused. So a lot of phone calls, a lot of time at the stations talking to people. They want certainty and convenience, and we are going to offer that. Next, please. So some of the lessons learned is this controlled setting that was created by the appointments absolutely addressed our COVID concerns. We were able to social distance. We were able to make sure that we had time in between boats to properly sanitize all the things that we touched that other staff were doing. So that was a very, very successful lesson. What I'm most proud of is that the stations, the crews at the stations, the morale was incredibly high and we had excellent quality of work. And I think there's two reasons for that. One is that we were able to have some competitive wage management in the past to entice good people, but more so we invested a lot of time, we meaning the program managers at the RCD and myself, and investing in our site supervisors to give them, empower them to be better leaders and better trainers and everything. And so all these things that we did to get ready and implement 2020 really worked out to just have the best season since I've been here for the last few years of morale and quality of work. And so that investment of leadership was really, really huge, and we will continue that. Another large lesson was the risk continues to grow. As we mentioned, that recommendation to recreate outdoors with the high demand, a lot of people that were boating, that boat normally, were out there a lot more. And so it means more decontaminations. We also saw a huge influx of interstate travel, lots of people sticking in the country to vacation. And then we also saw a very large uptick of boats being purchased by people in the basin in states that are very high risk. And that's why we saw that double the amount of infested boats, mussel infested boats this season. And with the recreation, kind of looking forward to 2021 with COVID, I'm guessing these recommendations aren't going to stop. And we're preparing for that long-term demand in response to 2020. And again, I've heard, or we have heard across the lake from multiple partners, everybody expressed how busy the season was. They said like every weekend was like the 4th of July until October. And lastly, the appointment system allows us to provide better outreach to the boaters because we have more time than we normally would. You know, if it was a half hour appointment and you have our, and we got our inspection done in 15 minutes and we didn't need a decontamination, we can spend 5 minutes with that boater and explain the value in coming to the station clean, drain, and dry, which saves them money and time so they don't need a decontamination, and then further explain the impacts that aquatic invasive species could have to the lake. And again, all of these things were really successful because of the high quality of staff and the coordination that we had with our partnership with the RCD. Next, please. So we have some lessons learned. We have 2020 behind us. And as Joanne mentioned, we have some program challenges. Program costs are increasing. It's absolutely critical to maintain competitive wages. I think that showed this year the success of that. Annual operational costs are increasing. And again, the inspections and decontaminations are the most important work that we do, and it's the most time-consuming work that we do. So we have taken a look at the program in the past to come up with efficiencies, and we can make equipment improvements and these staff investments. We're managing those costs. We're continually and actively seeking outside funding sources to supplement the program. So revenues are also decreasing with the unexpected state appropriation cuts. And there's just an unknown about 2021 COVID impacts. We don't know what to expect. We expect high demand, but lots could happen. So bottom line is the costs are going up. Today, we're talking about adaptations that we can make for 2021, and we'll discuss the long-term solutions in the near future. Next, please. So some of these adaptations, based on the lessons learned while assessing the program this last year, we absolutely have to continue to invest in the staff. That increased leadership role of our site supervisors led to great successes at the stations. But we also need to keep those wages competitive to entice good people and entice them to stick around for a year or two. The value that we gain in having a return person come back is insurmountable. It's such a benefit to the program. So the program managers can focus on program stuff instead of shadowing and training the new staff. And so that's really a humongous savings for us in so many levels. And we also want to maintain our high level of customer service that we heard from the boaters this year and what we expect as a program. So investment in staff is absolutely critical. We're consolidating resources. So we're going to be operating three stations again like we did last year, but we're going to have better hiring this year, we hope. And so we took the lesson of having three stations and that capacity that we were able to pretty much do what we do in a normal year because of the appointment system. We're going to take the equipment that was at our Truckee station, which is not going to be operational, and we're going to move it to our Alpine station. So that station is going to have double the capacity. So essentially we'll have the capacity of four stations, but we'll need fewer staff to operate. So again, cost management from an operational side of things. So we did what we can operationally to decrease costs without impacting the effectiveness, but more needs to be done to fill that cost gap. So we're proposing an appropriate fee increase to reflect those services provided that I mentioned about the amount of time and cost to perform these increases in decontaminations. We're also going to be enhancing our services. We're going to offer an appointment system as well as the traditional walk-in system that we've always had. So operational adjustments have been made to try to minimize that fee increase as much as possible. Next, please. So the appointment system is quite simple. At each of the stations, we have the ability to work on two boats. So I'm going to call them two lines. We want to have one line dedicated for appointments and one for that on-demand service or walk-ins. There's value in this from two sides of it. We can address our COVID concerns by minimizing the number of boats at a station at any one time and kind of having that set number of boats planned out for the day. And it also helps us manage the high demands. And how this occurs is we hope to spread the flow between the stations. One thing that we saw this year with the appointments was that if Myers was booked out 4 weeks in advance, Spooner may have been booked out only 2 weeks in advance. So people would go to Spooner. So we can spread that flow between the stations with this system. And then we also want to spread that flow throughout the week to minimize the weekend demands. 41% of our inspections take place on Friday and Saturday, and we want to flatten that peak as best we can. And with appointments, we can accomplish that. So, and again, the demand issue is we want to maximize the capacity of our staff at every station to do inspections and decontaminations. And that's why we were able to get to the capacity that we were this last year, because we had our inspectors at each station pretty much working start to finish each day, where normal years we have lulls on, you know, Tuesday, Wednesdays when it's slow. And so that's how this appointment system is going to help us meet that demand and maximize capacity. So again, we've listened to the customers that they want convenience and they want consistency. And we look to other successful programs. And similar to the Southwest early bird check-in fee, we're proposing a convenience fee for the appointment of $15. We believe this is reasonable from two points. One, it needs to be low enough dollar amount so people are willing to make an appointment, but it has to be high enough for people to keep their appointment, to show up to their appointment. And so again, this appointment system will give them the certainty of an inspection time. They're not going to have to wait in a line, but that fee helps us with no-shows. No-shows were a really big problem last year. We just couldn't get ahead of it because things were moving so quickly. But on average across the stations, we had 9 a day. There were some stations alone that had 7 to 9 a day. And it really impacted our capacity to do what we needed to do while there was still a backlog of boats waiting to get inspected. So I think this price is a fair one that is going to meet those needs that we have. And again, people really appreciated the option for an appointment. The appointment system allows us to provide more customer service, and this fee essentially is just paying for that additional level of service. Next, please. Need a water break? So our fee increase for inspections, we're proposing a $5 increase for in and out boats and single inspection boats. Again, this is where the bulk of our work is. The fees need to accurately reflect the costs to operate the program. Tahoe only boats generally don't need inspections, so we're focusing on how we can best cost manage our gaps, and this is one answer. Similarly, with our fee increase proposal for decontaminations, there's 3 categories. A single system decontamination is if you have a bilge or an engine to decontaminate. We're proposing a $5 increase from 15 to 20. Complex decontamination, which is multiple systems, $40 to $50. And attached mussels from 200 to 250. And again, this reflects the time that it takes us to conduct decontaminations. It's more time to do a decontamination than it is an inspection, and we want the fees to reflect that. The single and complex decontamination reward boaters who try to be clean, drain, dry. So if you did the best you could and you came and your ballast boat was drained, all we need to do is do a quick decontamination on those drained ballasts, and you're going to be saving essentially $30 if this proposal moves forward. The beautiful thing about this is if you show up clean, drain, dry to our station, you can avoid a decontamination fee altogether. Next, please. So if the board decides to move forward with this proposal, the estimates will help close that gap in the short term for 2021. We estimate about $57,000 for the inspection and decontamination fees, and about $73,000 for the appointment convenience fee, totaling about $130,000. Next, please. So in summary, we took a deep dive into the program and made some changes considering these budget concerns that are facing us. And it's very clear, we need to maintain the highest level of protections for the lake as one of the high priority programs in the basin and still provide that excellent customer service that people expect. Competitive wages are critical to get dedicated and well-trained staff. There's a theme here, right, with competitive wages and staff. And this pays dividends in the long term from a programmatic standpoint, like I mentioned earlier, about investing in the staff, making sure that they have excellent buy-in on the program, and it just makes the whole process work smoothly. So again, we're going to be addressing the short-term funding challenges and continue to work on long-term program solvency in the very near future. Next, please. So the requested board action is for the governing board adoption of the resolution containing the 2021 watercraft inspections fee schedule and operations. And next, I appreciate your time and thank you so much, and I'm happy to take questions.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. And I will see if I have any questions. I have one from Shelley.
Thank you, Bill. This is either a question for Tom or Joanne or both. You know, since the more complex decontaminations are certainly the most labor-intensive part of our program, has any thought been given to temporarily excluding boats that originate from highly infested bodies of water as a way of encouraging greater compliance with the clean, drain, and dry protocols?
I In my experience in the last three seasons, we have not considered that. I mean, we want people to boat. We want people to recreate. And I know in the conversations when we proposed the last fee increase, we went down that path, and we want to be equitable to everybody and do the best that we can. And I think we can accomplish that with this fee schedule that we have set forth. And if Joanne or Dennis want to add anything, please do.
Shall I?
Everybody. Oh, go ahead, Joanne.
Well, Dennis, I'd rather have you address this from an operational standpoint, because then Shelley's raising an even higher level issue that I'll address.
Good afternoon, everyone. Dennis Baglow, Aquatic Resources Program Manager, for the record. Part of the beauty of the program and what makes it so successful is that you have that ability to come to our lake and still get on the water the same day. While it is a challenge to conduct some of those decontaminations on boats that have mussels on them, perhaps, but the beauty of the program is having that level of service. You do pay for it, but we can get it done and get you out on the water the same day.
There's Tom.
Hi.
Welcome back, Tom.
Yes.
So, Joanne, do you want to take your shot at the bigger policy issue you thought?
Well, Shelley, you're suggesting that we somehow create two classes of boaters and part of the success of our program, and exclude a class of boaters from, out of the area, or out of state. Part of the success of our program is the willingness to comply. So if we create too much dissonance around, the haves and the have-nots, if you will, the real risk is that our compliance actually goes down. And I think Dennis was somewhat alluding to this. We're making sure that this program operates in a way where we're assuring the highest level of protection to the lake. And I'm not sure that creating two classes of boaters at this point, one, that we can implement it well, and two, it wouldn't just be counterproductive in creating more dissonance around the program than we have. Very, very good compliance right now. We've done very good outreach on clean, drain, and dry. I think this last season, COVID introduced an element of chaos because we had some new boaters. Hey, I want to recreate outdoors. I want to buy myself a new boat. And they did. And they came. I think once COVID settles out, we'll go back to, we're at something like 96% compliance on clean, drain, and dry, something like that. I might have those numbers wrong, but very high compliance.
Well, listen, I appreciate that, Joanne. I wanted to ask the hard question because I'm just definitely afraid that, despite our diligence, something's going to slip by us, and then we're going to have an infestation that we're going to have to be hard-pressed to control. And I think the lakes, that, haven't done as diligent a job in preventing new infestations, at some point need to come to terms with their less than diligent efforts. And I would just hate to see Lake Tahoe suffer as a result of that. I'm not trying to create two classes. These are not social classes, I want to make that distinction. I mean, I'm just trying to think of other ways of, further promoting our program of giving preferential treatment to people who are diligent about ensuring that their boats are not infected. I know that this year was unusual for a variety of reasons, but there's certainly no paucity in the number of people visiting the lake. So I'm not sure it would be a detriment to the local economy. I just think we're living on borrowed time. And so, to the extent other bodies of water are not as aggressive as we are, to the extent that boaters are not as diligent as perhaps we'd like them to be, You know, I think that we shouldn't take that option off the table, even though it may not be something that we're prepared to implement today.
Shelley, I think that you put it great. It may be something we want to consider as a separate matter. Unfortunately, we're not agendized to take that up at this point. This is just really a fee discussion as opposed to substantively determining what boats could be put on the lake. So I think your suggestion is if the board wants to bring that up at a subsequent meeting on kind of the substantive requirements of the program, we can do that.
Okay, John, a point well taken. Thank you.
Yeah, as I understand it, we're trying to do a 1 year with the existing program, and we will revisit for the longer term as what we may have to do about the inspection process. Let's see, Bud, you had a question.
Yes, by the way, I join in Shelley's comment. I have the same concern, but that's not why I asked to speak. On the appointment fee of $15, I recognize there's a lot of subjective determinations that have to be considered on this, but is that enough? I mean, it would strike me that, a $25 or $30 fee would not be unreasonable, and it would help with your no-shows. You know, $15 today isn't all that much, but that's my comment, and I'm just sort of curious on how you got to that fee.
Yeah, it was a conversation, and as I was explaining this appointment system in concept months ago, $20 came to my head right away, and went around the phone and asked each person what they thought was appropriate, and the $15 jumped out as a reasonable cost, like I said, to kind of balance between reasonable to make an appointment, but also enticing them to make sure they show up. And it's consistent with something that's been successful, like I mentioned, the Southwest early bird check-in fee.
Well, I understand. Thank you. And I guess it's something, you know, give it a try and see how it works this season. And then I know you're going to be looking at long range planning alternatives. And so maybe that's something to consider in that discussion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for my colleagues? I don't see anything else on the chat sheet. So I guess, Catherine, it'd be that time to allow the public to raise their hands. And if there's anyone out there to comment on the proposal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do not see any hands raised to comment on this item.
Okay, thank you. So I'll close public comment and see if there are any further comments. We do have a motion that staff would like someone to make regarding this matter.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make that motion. I move to adopt the proposed resolution contained in Attachment A, approving the 2021 watercraft inspection fee schedule and proposed watercraft inspection operations, including changes to the resolution amending the effective dates from to read December 2020 to December 2021 in the heading and in the now therefore be it resolved provision.
Thank you for catching those changes too. So any comments on the motion? I don't see any, so I think we can open up the roll. Maria?
Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Mr. Beyer?
Yes.
Ms. Birkbigler?
Yes.
Ms. Faustinos?
Yes.
Mr. Bruce?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Mr. Cashman?
Mr. Montana already.
Mr. Cashman? Mr. Friedrich?
Yes.
Mrs. Sagaski?
Yes.
Ms. Novosel?
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence?
Yes.
Mr. Rice?
Yes.
Mr. Cashman? Mr. Yates?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chair, that motion passes.
Thank you. So we're going to swim back upstream here a bit.
I vote for it. I finally got unmuted.
Oh, great. I thought you'd already gone to Montana.
I know. Okay. I know. Well, I didn't want you to leave. I didn't want you thinking that.
All right. So we're going to swim upstream back to the planning matters under item number 7. And we have a briefing on the 2019 threshold evaluation and TRPA's digital first initiative. Item number 7A, you'll find that at page 113 of your packet. And here again is a reminder to the public after staff presentation and board discussion on this item, excuse me, you may raise your hand in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff to share your comments. And now Ken Cashman. Hi, Ken, there you are. He's ready to make a presentation.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the board. It's a pleasure to be here this afternoon to talk through a couple of items. First, we're gonna spotlight some of the behind the scenes work that staff have done in making changes to our systems and processes as part of the Digital First Initiative. We're also gonna preview the format for the threshold evaluation that'll come out early next year. And this presentation is actually paired with the next presentation that Sean Tevlin on our team will present regarding the monitoring work that TRPA does and how it supports management actions in the region, as well as the threshold evaluation itself. The Digital First Initiative is an organization-wide initiative that is going to span multiple years, and it's about creating an efficient and innovative and creative agency, automating our processes and really expanding how we collaborate internally and externally with customers and with our partners. This builds upon the strategic plan for TRPA, which, as you know, has two key pillars, one, to operate as a high-performance organization, and two, to use best information, data, and science for decision-making, accountability, and transparency. This initiative looks at all of our digital information resources, as you can see on the slide here, from our maps to our case files, our data, and our images, and looks at both internal systems as well as our customer-facing tools like Lake Tahoe Info. TRPA's well positioned for this digital initiative. And we're gonna focus our effort today and our discussion today on a couple of things that are happening in several of our divisions. But we could just as easily talk about, you know, finance and our e-contracting or onboarding and paperless onboarding in HR. We could also talk about digital code and how we're making those changes in our long range planning team. But today we're really focused on what research and analysis and what our current planning teams have been doing. You know, digital transformation is a buzzword. And to us, what it means is digitizing the over 50 years of paper records that the agency has accumulated and doing the data entry necessary to capture that information and utilize it in our decision making. It's also about digitalizing our systems and processes, converting from paperless or to paperless processes, creating new records electronically, connecting our databases and information platforms, and using tools like electronic meetings and webinars to gain public input. And it's about transforming the agency practices and framing them in a digital first way. Now, prior to COVID, we had 8 applications available for electronic submittal using our Citizens Access site. And when COVID hit and the office closures were put in place, we immediately pivoted to prioritizing customer service and using these tools for an expansion of our electronic submittal options. And today on the next slide, you can see we have 33 different project types available for electronic submittal. The 2020 market in Tahoe, particularly for the real estate market, has been incredible. Estimates are that property sales are up between 50 and 80% in parts of the lake. And in parallel with that, applications to TRPA were up. This year, we've seen a 13% increase year to date compared to this time, 2019. And our project applications are up 33%. And phone calls to the agency and our planners have increased by 40%. Next slide, please. Here you can see our current planning team and some of the numbers that we've just talked through. Our current planning team is made up of Brandy, Matt, Robbie, Bridget, Teresa, and Steve, Allie, Bruce, Paul, Judy, Tiffany, Wendy, Casey, Rachel, Brendan, and Taylor. These folks put in incredible work this year in these unique circumstances. And we've seen the transition to electronic submittals really changing the way that we work. 74% of project applications came in electronically during the third quarter, and 93% of our tree removal applications. This continues to be a shining example of being able to accept, process, and permit electronically. All 1,200 applications that we received this year were processed entirely electronically. And these reviews are much more efficient. It works well. It saves time for our staff, and it saves customers time, trips to the office, paper, and overall costs. In addition, our field inspectors, using iPads and other digital tools, were able to process more than 2,100 inspections and investigate more than 100 complaints this year, despite the COVID protocols and having to ensure protections. On the next slide, again, I want to highlight the work of my team. The top row, Amy Mason and Emily, are our GIS team that have produced our web maps, story maps, and other tools for the public, as well as our planners to perform their responsibilities electronically. We have Beth, Sean, Reed, and Dan that handle data collection and analysis and field monitoring for environmental condition, as well as our transportation system. And on the bottom row, Jean, Adele, Lori, and Linda that support our planning teams and respond to customer inquiries. We've scanned more than 12,000 project files in the last several years, and we've updated more than 25,000 parcels on the parcel tracker on Lake Tahoe Info. And this team is leading that work for digitization and digitalization of our systems and processes. And they're also leading the Lake Tahoe Info development overall. And speaking of Lake Tahoe Info, we want to talk about, next slide please, the plans for the next threshold evaluation. As many of you know, Lake Tahoe Info started initially with the EIP project tracker. And it built upon the earlier failures of the TIM system that was really trying to be everything for everybody. And we took a different approach. We started small and focused, and we built modularly at the speed of trust. And as we've continued to use those systems and tools, we've invested in maintaining and updating the tools. The EIP tracker this year was overhauled to reflect the new action priorities of the EIP. We also, as you can see on this slide, took a novel approach to expanding and developing the EIP tracker by placing an open source license on it. And the open source version of the tool is called Project Firma. And working with our partner, Sitka Technology Group, other agencies are able to quickly use the tools using our open source license to get their programs up and running very quickly, and they're able to save time and costs. And in exchange, TRPA receives features back from them when they invest in developing new things in the tool. And today, there are 9 agencies in 5 states that are currently using Project Firma for their project tracking. And this includes local and regional sites like the Clackamas Partnership and Puget Sound Partnership, statewide tools like the California Resource Conservation District Project Tracker, and a forest health tool for the state of Washington. There's also the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation has an Endangered Species Act project tracker for the Columbia River Basin using this platform. In total, these 9 instances have invested more than $3 million in developing these tools. And in exchange, TRPA has received more than $90,000 in functionality back into our system as a result of the open source license. We also meet quarterly with this community of users, many of whom have modeled their programs after the Lake Tahoe EIP and use this as an example for developing their focus areas and their project tracking, as well as performance measures. And we meet quarterly to discuss progress, to learn from each other, and to identify collective goals of how we want to continue to enhance the system. One of the things that we've seen as a need and continue to build into Lake Tahoe Info is this ability to connect actions to outcomes, to look at our indicators, to look at our monitoring data, and connect them to our goals. And the 4-year threshold evaluation is that opportunity to assess ecosystem health in the region by looking at the more than 150 threshold standards in our 9 threshold categories. TRPA will release the 7th comprehensive threshold evaluation in early 2021, and it reflects the monitoring work of our federal, state, local agencies, our universities, and our private partners. And it's a comprehensive overview of the environmental health of the region. Taking our cues from the digital initiative, Digital First Initiative, this evaluation will look very different than evaluations of the past. It will be an online interactive dashboard. Gone are the 1,000-page PDFs and endless appendices. It will reflect the best practice in informing the public and decision makers, as well as our stakeholders, and an opportunity to collect input from the public using these tools. We believe it'll be much better and more digestible, more accessible and meaningful, and that it will much better link our regional actions to our outcomes. And we'll walk through this format now. As you can see here, we have the landing page. From there, you can dig into the actual, using this nested format of the evaluation, you can see at the high level, the threshold category levels. So in this case, we see the wildlife example. Next, you can click into the reporting category level, here for special interest species. And one step further is the specific threshold standards, in this case for peregrine falcon. And we see here more information about the standard, as well as the detailed status and trend information from the 2019 evaluation. Next, we'll see the detailed findings and the key results, as well as an interactive map of evaluation sites. And we will do this for all 150 threshold standards. And at the bottom, we continue with even more nested information, where you can link to the monitoring program detail page and even more information about the peregrine falcon, in this case, population monitoring program, as well as example of EIP projects that relate to the threshold standard to get even more information about those actions that land managers and our EIP partners are putting on the ground. Again, clicking through the next page takes you to the detail for the monitoring program and a more detailed discussion of the approach, monitoring partners, and links to associated documents. In this case, the detailed survey protocols and the associated indicators for the Peregrine Falcon monitoring program. So as you can see, this new site will be interactive, and the nested format enables stakeholders to easily get as little or as much detail as they want. As I said, the threshold evaluation and the dashboard will be released in early 2021, as well as an executive summary that will pull together all of this information into a summarized piece. We don't yet have the specific details to share, but as we've talked about before, long-term progress in the region is slow, but each of the prior six threshold evaluations have indicated that incremental progress towards threshold attainment was seen, and we anticipate that this one will show the same. The evaluation will identify also areas of need, particularly in areas where the region is responding to the changing climatic conditions. This is an informational item, so no action is required, but I'm happy to take any questions you might have. And again, the next presentation will go into even more detail about the monitoring programs that TRPA leads and the management actions that respond to those. So I'd be happy to take any questions that you have, and then we'll hand it over to Sean next.
Thank you, Ken. Are there any questions from my colleagues? I don't see any. Okay. Should we just go to the next presentation before we have public comment? Staff, you have any ideas about that? Doesn't sound like they're both informational.
I think we can wait. We can wait till the end, I think. That's fine.
Okay. Well, Sean, you ready to go?
Yes.
Great. Yep. Thank you.
All right. Can everybody see my screen?
Yes.
I can. Yes.
All right. So hi, everyone. Hope you guys are all doing well out there. Thanks for hanging in there with us today. I'm Sean Tevlin, Environmental Specialist here at TRPA. I lead our field monitoring programs, and today I'm going to talk about some of the highlights from the 2020 field season. And today I'm going to focus on how our monitoring goes into management decisions, because a lot of the times I think that gets lost. We just talk about the monitoring, but it's actually how that monitoring informs management decisions, which is the most important part. So 2020 was a summer like no other for everyone, including our little field crews. So we had to implement COVID protocols all summer. So masking, separate vehicles, 6 feet apart, we got pretty good at it. But because of these safety protocols, we were able to get out in the field when many others in the basin were unable to. So we really want to thank, you know, management for being flexible on this when a lot of other agencies were not flexible on that. So because of these protocols, we were able to get out in the field, complete all the data we needed to collect, and even took over some monitoring from partners who were unable to get in the field for really critical data sets that we did not want to lose this year. So we collected data for wildlife, noise, air quality, bicycle pedestrian, Tahoe yellowcrest, streams, and stream environment zones. So I'll go through each of these, talk about some of the highlights from each category. And then for stream environment zones, for SEZ, that'll be the second half of the presentation, and that's almost like its own topic because it's a special project we finished this year. So for wildlife, so TRPA is directly in charge of monitoring three different special interest species. Those are osprey, bald eagle, and peregrine falcon. For osprey, the nesting numbers were steady this year, nothing new to report. Bald eagle nesting numbers were steady as well. There was a new nest near Camp Richardson, which was, you know, the first successful new nest in a long time. So that was exciting. The main thing though is that the peregrine falcons continue to recover. You can see the graph down the bottom left here, how there was zero in 2008, and that went back 50 years where there was no nesting left in the Tahoe Basin, and now we're up to five active nests. In 2020 and 2019, the big story was working with the climbing and hiking community to reduce impacts at Castle Rock. Because of our monitoring efforts with our partners, we were able to see that due to increased climbing and hiking around Castle Rock, the nest failed multiple years in a row. So we were able to implement an action plan with some follow-up monitoring where we put out signs, like you can see here on the upper right, signage all over the place during the nesting season, reaching out to the different partners with the climbing and hiking communities. And because of this, the last 2 years, there's been a successful nest that's produced fledglings. So that's a really good story and a good example of how monitoring data actually goes into making a management decision. In this case, a really good success story as well. And you can see here on the bottom right, this is just a clipping from a news article. This story, I think the Tahoe Fund got involved with some of the funding to cover some of the monitoring costs, and they were able to get the word out about this project. And we had, you know, five or six different news stories about it. So really cool, good story. For noise, so we did standard noise monitoring in the plan areas and highways that we have to do every year, you know, 40 noise monitors installed. I'm not going to go into any details on that because there was no, you know, super exciting findings. The big thing for noise for 2020 is that we continue to increase noise monitoring for shore zone enforcement. So as you know, this is the second year of the shoreline plan implementation. A big part of the shoreline plan is reducing noise impacts from boats. So with our monitoring and working with the TRPA boat crew, we are able to identify 38 likely noise violators this year. And our enforcement team is sending notices to all these boat owners that they either need to come in compliance or that they're not welcome back on the lake. And down on the bottom left here, you can see the number of noise exceedances through the years. 2020 numbers, you know, overall, we haven't really seen a large change yet. The numbers are really low, but as we continue this program and actually implementing some enforcement actions with the monitoring, we hope to see these numbers decline to the point of almost no noise exceedances. So that's another good example of where monitoring data is actually being linked to a management decision. So for air quality, we continued our regular maintenance and operation of multiple air quality sites around the Tahoe Basin. So we monitor five different pollutants from things like carbon monoxide to particulate matter. The main two takeaways from 2020 is that overall trends continue to get better. So you can see here on the bottom left, that's the annual average for particulate matter at our South Lake Tahoe site. You can see going back to the 80s, the numbers are getting better. However, the flip side is that extreme events, these 24-hour maximums, these one-hour maximums, are getting worse. And these are from fires outside the basin. So you can see on the bottom right here, this is the air quality index, the 24-hour high at Incline Village over the past 7 years. And you can see 2020 kind of shattered everything before, which is not good. So there's kind of two different stories going on here. And in terms of how this data goes into management decisions, there's not, air quality is a really long-term game. So there's nothing you can do right away to make an impact, but it really does highlight the importance of these forest health initiatives, because most of the problems are from fires and actually fires outside the basin. Forest health is important, especially for Tahoe, but even outside of Tahoe, because that's where the air quality impacts are coming from. So for bicycle pedestrians, so we manage 20 plus counters around the basin. We're actually up to 30 now, I believe. And the story for 2020 is that despite COVID, 2020 counts were actually very similar to 2019 counts. And you can see here on the top right, these are all sites combined. And you can see summer 2020 was actually less busy than summer 2019, which is, I think, a little bit different from the popular notion out there. However, fall 2020 was more busy than 2019. The normal tourism drop-off in the fall did not really happen that much this year. And then there's big differences between sites. So those are the overall counts, but then depending on where you were in the basin, we saw, for example, the South Shore was less busy in 2020 than 2019. And this one example here, our counter Pioneer Trail at State Line, one of the busiest counters in the basin, the counts were almost half of what they are normally. And this is less people at Heavenly Village, less people at the casinos, et cetera. However, when you go to the non-urbanized sites, like a lot of the sites on the North Shore, for example, they were almost all universally more busy. So this is the Truckee River Trail up in Tahoe City, much bigger usage in 2020 than 2019. In terms of how all this data is used to make management decisions, so especially this year, the data was used by recreation partners to help manage recreation sites, to manage crowds. We got so many requests for this information to help them make decisions. And it's also being used to help make the case for more investment in bicycle pedestrian infrastructure. And the good example this year, we have lots of examples, but one of the best ones from this year was the Meeks Bay Trail. They finished the segment from Sugar Pine to Meeks Bay. And that section before the new path was built in 2019 had about 6,000 users a day. After it was built, 24,000 users a day. So 4 times increase. So this is a good example of using our monitoring data to help, you know, inform management decisions. And to go on the digital transformation that Ken alluded to, is this example of our monitoring data being transformed digitally. So this is an example from our monitoring dashboard, which is available on Lake Tahoe Info. So instead of all this data just being within some internal TRPA site, it's now out for the public to see. So you can go to any bicycle pedestrian counter in the basin. You can click on it, get a description of it, see photos of it, and you can actually see the count data as well. And this is updated about once a month as we go out and collect the data. All right, next on to Tahoe Yellowcrest, the little special Tahoe plant. So this year there was a lack of partner staff to do the annual survey that's required every year. And this required TRPA and others to step up. Usually this is led by the Forest Service, but because of COVID and the fires in the fall, which is when the survey happens, they couldn't even participate. But luckily, we were able to step up, others were able to step up and complete the survey. The story with 2020 is that the numbers continued to be reduced, mostly due to high lake levels. So you can see down here, these are the annual survey results. I actually see the years are missing here, but 2020, the most recent year, is actually the lowest number of sites we've had since 2000. But that's not necessarily surprising considering that this is also the first time we've had consistently high lake levels multiple years in a row. And we know from the past that high lake levels multiple years in a row lead to lower numbers. But in terms of how this monitoring data actually did go into making management decisions is when we have low numbers like this, it initiates protection actions under the Tahoe Yellowcrest Management Plan, which everyone in the basin has signed on to. And this means there's projects like increased fencing to protect some really important sites like at Nevada Beach and some homeowner outreach. When we're doing the survey this year, there's so many more people at their lakefront homes in September. Usually there's no one there and there's a lot of people home. And you can see examples like this of the beach chairs on top of Tahoe Yellowcrest. So, you know, educating homeowners, doing fencing, another good example of monitoring data being used to make management decisions. On to stream. So for 2020, we continued our normal bioassessment program, which is basically looking at the macroinvertebrates, the bugs in the stream, to see how healthy the biotic integrity of the stream is. So we did 40 plus sites this year. And the big story this year and, you know, the last couple of years really is that our bioassessment monitoring program is being used more and more by project implementers to assess restoration effectiveness and project impact. So for example, we have multiple sites now with the Forest Service as some of their really large fuel reduction projects in the stream to make sure that their projects are not having an overall harm on the biotic health of the stream. And then in 2020, we also sampled 7 sites on old and new restoration, stream restoration sites. 6 were in that very healthy category, and partners are using this data more and more to show that their projects are having a positive impact on the biotic health of the stream. All right, so now onto the final thing, which, like I said, this is kind of its own special project. So for stream environment zone monitoring, when I talk about SEZ monitoring, I'm talking about SEZ monitoring focusing on meadows, marshes, wetlands, riparian areas, fens, as well as streams. So in 2020, we completed a 3-year project to assess the current SEZ conditions across the entire Tahoe Basin. We're calling this the SEZ Baseline Condition Assessment. How this monitoring data is being used for management decisions is the results from this baseline condition assessment are going to be used to set a new science-based SEZ threshold. I think you all are aware of the threshold update SEZ is one of the priority areas. So this data will be used to make that new SEZ threshold. So now I'm going to go into this project just to finish out here a little bit more in depth. So just a quick background on SEZ monitoring and assessment. So after 2016, the last threshold evaluation, it became clear there was no basin-wide monitoring of SEZ. We simply report on the number of acres restored, which was great, but it wasn't a very scientific way to assess SEZ conditions on a basin-wide scale. So we knew we needed to start a monitoring program, so we were able to obtain an EPA grant in 2017 to start this program. As part of this grant, we initiated a technical advisory committee that helped develop this monitoring assessment program for SEZ. With the grant, we were also able to bring in some local experts that have been able to provide technical assistance in developing these programs. And then TRPA staff have actually spent the last two summers out in the field collecting all the necessary data to complete this baseline condition assessment. And again, to reiterate how this goes, how this data goes into a management decision is we're going with the understanding that to set a new SEZ threshold, we need to understand the current SEZ conditions. So this SEZ baseline condition assessment is going to document and establish those current SEZ conditions. So for this project, all the different SEZ stakeholders have been involved, everyone from the Forest Service to Army Corps of Engineers, Nevada Resource Conservation District. We've had four full group meetings of what we call the SEZ Technical Advisory Committee since 2017 at all the critical decision points. Even more importantly, we've had countless individual meetings with all our partners since 2017 along every detailed step of the way. So now we're in a place where all the partners have buy-off on the final results of this project. So now quickly, I'm just going to go through the five steps, the real basic steps we took to assess current SEZ conditions. First step is we had to get agreement on what are the most important functions SEZs provide. So things like reducing sediment nutrient pollutant loading, monitoring water temperature, et cetera. What are the important functions that we're trying to protect and restore? That's the most critical first step. Second step is choosing measurable indicators that relate to those important SEZ functions. So we start out with about 25 potential indicators. You can't measure all 25, so we had to narrow it down to the 10 most critical ones. And you can see them listed here. They range from things like head cuts, vegetation vigor, to habitat fragmentation and fish passage. So those are the 10 indicators that we looked at to assess condition. The third step was actually choosing methods to measure these indicators. So for methods, they had to be repeatable and feasible given budget and staff restraints. So this was really important because we all know we can have the best monitoring plan in the world, the most scientific one, but if you can't implement it, it just sits on a shelf. So it had to be repeatable and feasible. And then whenever possible, we utilize existing methods and protocols from other programs. Wetland monitoring, stream monitoring, meadow monitoring is not necessarily a new science, so we didn't need to reinvent the wheel. So we utilize existing protocols whenever possible. Next step is actually going out and gathering the data. This is the fun part. So there's hundreds of meadows and marshes in Tahoe. There's hundreds of miles of streams in Tahoe. How do you measure them all? And the most basic answer to this is a combination of field data and then remotely sensed data. So there's all these new technologies out there that allow for remote sensing, which is basically collecting data from your desktop computer that you normally would have to go out in the field to collect. So it's really corresponds perfectly to the time where we're all sitting around in front of our computers now. It means that there's way less staff time needed to go out in the field and collect this data, and you can cover a much bigger area with less people. The second part is there's lots of existing SEZ data from partners. So some partners have studied different SEZ in the basin really well over the last few years. We didn't need to go out and collect new data there. We can just incorporate their data into it. And then the last part is actually TRPA staff going out, and this is where we spent the last 2 years, gathering data at hundreds and hundreds of sites to fill in all the necessary data gaps. Then the final step is actually making sense of the data. So raw data on its own means very little. You know, we've all experienced the giant databases and Excel spreadsheets that never actually get put into use. So raw data has to be given meaning. It has to be put in perspective. The way we did that for this project, the data was scored using an A, B, C, D rating system where A is good, D is bad. That's the general idea. And you can see an example here. These are just a few of the indicators, and you can see how, depending on what the data says, they're put into four different categories of very degraded, degraded, healthy, very healthy. So for example, if you have over 50% of banks unstable, it gets a D for channel stability. If you have less than 5% banks unstable, it gets an A for channel stability. So each indicator is measured like that. And then what we're left with is a scorecard for each SEZ in the basin. So this is an example scorecard. You see the 10 different indicators, a quick description of the indicator, of raw value associated with that indicator, and then a rating assigned to that raw value. And the score is basically just an A equals a 12, a B equals a 9, C equals a 6, a D equals a 3, so that you end up with an overall score and overall percentage for each SEZ in the basin, which is what we now have. And so the results, this is calling them preliminary. Actually, as of this week, they're now final. They've gone through their final review from all the partners, so this is final data. We have the first ever baseline condition assessment of SEZ for the Tahoe Basin. So now we can assess the current conditions of stream environment zones on a basin-wide scale with actual scientific evidence. So in the past, there's been numbers thrown out about how 25% were degraded, 10% were degraded. There's all these different things that have been thrown out. But there was never a map that showed where the degradation was. There was never scientific evidence to back up those claims. We now have that. So what we ended up with is about 49% were in the A very healthy category, 23% were in the B category, 8% were C, and 17% were in that D very degraded category. So that's a monumental achievement in itself, just to be able to actually show those numbers. We can also look at things like restoration effectiveness. So we have data now for the current conditions of sites that were restored 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago. Looking at the current conditions, we can see if these restoration projects have been successful in the long term. We also can look at where all the degraded SEZ is in the basin. So we now have a map, and you can actually scroll around and only look for things that got a C, only look for things that got a D. And this is just a really monumental achievement to actually be able to have real data to back up all this information. And again, how this all plays into the management thing, I'll reiterate again, is this baseline condition assessment lays the groundwork for the science-based SEZ threshold update. And these last two slides, I'm just going to focus on the digital-first transformation. Again, like Ken talked about, instead of this being in some internal TRP database that no one has access to, all the data is in a publicly available web map. And this is an example of it. This is how our partners reviewed all the data for all the sites that they're interested in. It's a really good way for anyone to view the data. You can scroll around the basin. You can click on any SEZ in the basin. You get all the data associated with it. So you can look at the final score. You can look at the different indicators and how they're rated, site descriptions, photos of the site, et cetera. So this is all part of that digital transformation. And the final part is for those of people that don't like to read a 250-page report, which is what we have, we also have a story map. And this is, again, using these digital tools to make our story more compelling. And this is just a way, this is basically takes you on a tour of SEZ in the basin and gives you all the findings summarized for the SEZ assessment. So again, part of that digital first transformation. So that's really it. That's the summary of our monitoring program this year, and especially the SEZ monitoring. And with that, I will open it up to any questions from the governing board.
Wow, thank you, Sean and Ken, impressive. So you guys aren't just twiddling your thumbs and during the COVID season, that's great. I just really impressed with the level of research you guys have done and good field work. So any comments? Belinda had a comment, but she also was running out. She said, congrats on establishing the baseline conditions. This is huge. And she's right. I don't see any other comments from my colleagues. So Catherine, why don't we open this up for public comment, see if there's anyone that's raised their hand and want to make a public comment on the presentations regarding the threshold evaluation in our digital first initiative and the monitoring program update.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do not see any hands raised to make public comment on either of these items.
Okay. Well, then we will close public comment. I thank both of you for the very fine presentation, but also for all your good work during this past year. Excellent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say
that hopefully you're going to improve on, you know, governing board decision making now that you've done all this kind of good scientific work. And I guess I'm on that threshold update committee. I think I was assigned that a couple of years ago. So Jim Lawrence and I will get to see this over and over again. That's good. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to just recognize quickly, this is actually Sean's swan song with the agency.
No.
He is going to be relocating outside the basin. So we wanted to take a moment just to thank him for his work. He's been with us for over 7.5 years and has led the monitoring program for the last several years. You know, this SEZ effort was really took the direction it did under his leadership, and we really appreciate all that work. He's also been instrumental in creating TRPA monitoring reports, which are available on our website. We do an annual summary. So we just really want to thank him for his service and recognize him as he's going to be leaving us soon.
Well, Sean, yes, absolutely. Boy, thank you for all the work that you've done. And I wish you well wherever you're going. Sorry you're going, but wish you well.
It's been a lot of
really valuable work, and you're leaving behind for us. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Well, here we are. Now I got to go hustle through this to the next part of our thing, which would be reports. And Joanne Marchetta would be up on that with the status report.
Excellent. Thank you, Bill. Well, this being the last governing board meeting of this year, I do want to take this opportunity to thank the governing board. You know, we've been doing a lot of appreciation today, but it is that time of year when we take some time to do that. Unfortunately, we can't do it in person, but I want to thank the board for all of your resilience and support in what has been a challenging year. And I particularly want to say to Marcia and Tim and Brooke, you know, we'll miss you. Best wishes. Honestly, you have been part of an epic period of our governing board where we've made, you know, we've demonstrated this ethic of collaboration and cooperation. It's become our signature strength, and the board plays that out at every meeting. So we appreciate all your contributions you made to our success, and to each of you, I say stay safe and be well. And Tim, I do want to thank you for your kind words earlier. I recall sitting in your office early in my tenure and seeking your advice and tutelage, and I've always considered you a mentor and leader. So thank you for those comments. And I think the last part of my report today, I especially want to take this opportunity to thank our staff this year for everything they've done. We have been in the midst of an especially challenging work program. And just because of so many of our policy initiatives, transportation funding, the Keys weeds challenge, shoreline, all the issues of visitation management, sustainable rec, affordable housing, workforce housing, we're advancing the region really into the needs of the future. And so on so many of these important policy initiatives, we're flying the airplane now as we fly it. And so this would be hard in any normal year. And this has been absolutely not a normal year, meaning it's been a very unsettled year. So I'm exceptionally appreciative that every member of my staff has handled this with grace and resilience and kindness and competence and diligence and focus. And like they brought all of their essential qualities to bear when we needed it, despite a relatively chaotic year where they faced constant change all the time. So thank you to all of them, and thank you many times over. I lament this year that we aren't able to actually have our traditional holiday get-togethers. It's always an opportunity for all of us to kick back and relax and socialize. I recognize that board members, you know, are not able to have these kinds of personal interactions. This year, we've bypassed most of those traditions that we've built to enjoy our own camaraderie. So we'll put our minds in the next calendar year to how we might, particularly with new board members, particularly, you know, how we might get you all, you know, some social engagement together so that you can get to know your new members and new members can get to know the seasoned players. So I thank all of board and staff for our perseverance and hanging in and leaning in and hanging on this year. So I wish everyone the best spirit of the season. And most of you know we'll be closing our virtual office for the week between Christmas and New Year's, and then we'll be back on January 4th, ready to reset 2021. So that's my report this month. And Mr. Chair, I turn it back to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. Thank you for your leadership through this tough year also. You had to make some tough decisions. It's been weird as just getting geared up to do this kind of virtual meetings when we first started out. It truly is a testimony to your organizational skills that we were to be able to make this transition where people actually can work out of their home and we can just, you know, hardly skip a beat. Yes, some staff members have had to juggle children and work and things like that, work schedules. But every time I'm on the phone with them, or every time I'm in my own virtual meeting with them, they're on top of it and they understand it, that everybody's kind of doing the best they can and they're doing really well. No question, you've built a great team, Joanne. And the agency is, and the lake benefits from that. Thank you.
Thank you.
John, do you have anything to add for the general counsel? Actually, I'd love to see you on screen. Thank you, John. It was essential. Thank you. Even though we can't get That's together, gorgeous. we can still see the blazer. I feel better.
Some traditions.
2020 is complete.
First, I'd like to thank and extend my thoughts of gratitude to Tim, Brooke, and Marcia. It's been wonderful working with you guys. Apparently, I'm going to have to call Brooke and find out what confused her and see if I can correct that. But in any event, I just wanted to give a quick overview of we have three outstanding pieces of litigation. They're all going to become pretty active in the first half of 2021, the Garmong versus TRPA litigation is back in the district court. As you know, we're briefing on motions to dismiss, a preliminary injunction, and summary judgment. Somehow, I'm hoping that in the next beginning of next year, we'll be able to resolve that case, at least in the district court. The Ganawabi litigation over the lot line adjustment, the briefing has commenced on the merits of that case. And we have a settlement conference in early February that I have some hopes for, and Mark will be joining us on a Zoom call for that. Mountain Addiction, the enforcement case. as you may recall, the defendant, the two defendants moved to cross-claim against the California Tahoe Conservancy. CTC has now built a fence separating their property from the Mountain Addiction property, and that's creating some distress on behalf of the mountain addiction folks. But we have moved to dismiss that cross-claim, and that's currently pending. And discovery will commence as soon as the district court resolves that that motion, and that's in the Eastern District of California, and the other two cases are in the district court in Reno. That's it. If you have any questions, I can respond.
That's the perfect 2020 jacket. Thank you.
You got it. Bill, I think you were frozen there for a little bit.
Right. I was I got a signal that I was on a slow signal. I've been dancing around my cottage because of the sunshine. I'm trying to figure out what's the best location. This is fortunately my last time as chair to do this kind of dance. I guess that's it, John. And so we'll now go to a governing board member reports. Any governing board members have any reports?
Mr. Chair, it's Jim Lawrence.
Jim, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do want to report out that the Nevada Tahoe Regional Planning Agency met this month. And as sad as we are to see Tim leave the at-large position, who's done it longer than anybody at 11 years, I will report out that the NTRPA selected Haley Williamson to be the at-large member. Ms. Williamson currently chairs the Nevada Public Utility Commission, has extensive history and environmental issues, and believes she will be a great addition to NTRPA and TRPA. So she will be joining in January.
I look forward to her arrival. And
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Shelley.
This is Shelley. Before the end of the meeting, I'd like to kind of indulge in a little shameless promotion of a worthy cause by encouraging the governing board members to really seriously consider making a donation to some pretty important environmental education programs like Tahoe in Depth, Eyes on the Lake, and the Take Care Tahoe program. When you donate just $125 or more, you'll be eligible to receive as a thank you gift a fine silver Lake Tahoe collector's coin recently minted at the historic coin press number one at the Nevada State Museum, which some of you might know is the old Carson City Mint. You can place your order through the Parasol Tahoe Community Foundation or at trpa.org/coin. I think we have a little less than 300 coins left from our first run, so don't wait. It's really a great opportunity to make a difference and to secure a little slice of history at the same time.
Thank you, Shelley. There's nothing shameless about that. That was good. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is Cindy. I had a quick report.
Yes, please.
Thanks. I had two items. One, yesterday, the Placer County Board of Supervisors initiated the process with the North Lake Tahoe Resort Association to form the a TBID, Tourism Business Improvement District, in which the businesses will contribute 1% of their revenues into the North Lake Tahoe Resort Association program, and thus freeing up 2% of our collections of our transient occupancy tax. This takes a number of hearings, but we anticipate that by March we'll be able to actually form the district, and it will free up some $4 to $5 million that has been designated for transportation and housing in the Tahoe Basin. So it's really an exciting step forward. The businesses are to be commended for agreeing to assess themselves in order to move us along to find solutions in those areas. So I'm really pleased to report that. And I think we'll be working closely, the county with TRPA, to make sure that we implement these projects along with TTD to make sure it complements all the other good work we're doing in transportation and housing. And then my second comment was, I'm truly honored that I was nominated and I guess voted on to take over as vice chair. I have a lot of great leaders to follow in their footsteps, and I'm just truly honored. I wanted to express my appreciation to everyone.
Thank you, Cindy. And that's really good news about Placer County. It's a great idea, the district. Chair, to fill that funding gap for transportation needs.
I'm having a real hard time hearing. I don't know if anyone else is.
Yeah, Bill, you're cutting out.
Oh.
I'm glad you guys mentioned that. I thought that was mine.
So
he hadn't found the right spot for his sunlight yet.
No, I guess I got to move back to the sunshine. So I'm going to wander through here, if you guys can still hear me.
I think that's what they do to your an outgoing chair, is they reduce your mic service.
Well, you know, it's either that or it's my time is up, one or the other. So is this better, guys? Am I breaking up still?
Yes. Oh, much better. You're good. Much better.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm right on top of my Wi-Fi, so that's good. Anyway, I really appreciate the last 2 years has been really great, and I appreciate everybody that took their different roles in committees and just kind of went with it. We had some interesting ones. This year was for me. I mean, I guess maybe I was too upfront about what was going on with me health wise. I was just shocked. I mean, 4 years ago, I finished the Boston Marathon, and I've been kind of smug about my health, I guess. But anyway, just thinking about how we tackled the event center and during that period of time, and then right at the end of it, we had to go right into this kind of COVID virtual process. We've done quite well, and it certainly was my pleasure to be the chair, to work with all of you. You made it very easy for me. You enjoyed the few mistakes I made, but that was fine. I really am grateful for that, because this would have been a very long, long year. At least I had this to continue to work with you all, and look forward to the good relationship I had with staff and putting agendas together and getting prepared for this. So, and I know Mark and Cindy will do a great job, and I look forward to sitting back a bit. So we also have committee reports, and I think a Main Street management report, maybe John Hester. Maybe
Mr.
not.
Chair, we do not have any Main Street management reports on the agenda anymore because you all approved that. But I don't want to steal Sue's thunder, but she does have an announcement about an invitation for an event that the governing board members are invited to in January. So Sue.
Good.
Yep. Thank you, John. Sorry. I was hoping I made it. I've got a little baby cub running around my house right now and wildlife care trying to grab them. So sorry if I missed anything. Okay. The local government housing committee will be hosting a workshop on how to better encourage a range of different workforce housing types in our multifamily neighborhoods and town centers. Governing board members are invited to attend and a recording will be available for viewing afterwards as well. It's going to be held on January 6th from 9:30 to 11. And we're very excited about this. And I want to thank Karen Fink for setting this up. This is going to be a workshop with Optico's design. And they talk about that missing middle used to define a range of multi-unit or clustered housing types, which is perfect for Tahoe. And we're very excited. I know in the RPIC meeting this morning, I heard a lot of conversation about affordable housing and how do we address that. And this is part of that our committee to talk about housing and how we address such issues. So we're talking about how Tahoe can expand options for more workforce housing types to fit our neighborhoods and town centers. So again, it's going to be January 6th from 9:30 to 11 in the morning. And Karen Fink is going to be, has been the one organizing this. And so if you have any other questions, get a hold of her, but very excited about a workshop for us. Thank you.
That's great. And she'll be sending out kind of invitations so we can get the link or whatever for this meeting?
Yeah, we'll make sure she gets that out to everybody.
That'd be great. Okay. And so that's the Local Government and Housing Committee report. Legal Committee met today, and I think you've heard some of the issues we're dealing with, and I understand we'll have a few more violations coming up at Legal Committee. And Operations and Governance, you didn't meet today, Shelley, but anything happening?
Well, there will be some things happening after the first of the year, Bill, including a review of our audit and a meeting with our investment advisors. So we will keep you informed. So stay tuned.
Okay. And EIP Transportation and Public Outreach is losing its chair, sadly. But Mark, that'll be you and staff trying to figure out how you fill that. And then Forest Health and Wildfire. Where are we, Bud, on some of our policy amendments on forest health?
You know, I really can't say right now, Bill, but I think what I'll do is I'll be calling staff and seeing what we need to do and what we need to gear up and get started on before our next fire season.
Okay, great. And the Regional Plan Implementation Committee, we approved some changes to the Tahoe Valley Area Plan. Recommendations to the governing board, which will be coming up to the governing board in January, as well as the Sugar Pine Village affordable housing project. And then I can't go through a meeting without saying the acronym VMT or vehicle miles traveled, but yeah, that'll be also the TTAC met the Tahoe Transportation Advisory Committee met last week, and there will be further work done on our vehicle miles traveled threshold and mitigation measures, and that'll all be happening in January and February, some of which will come through our the Regional Plan Implementation Committee in January and then go to the board in February. So that's all that I know. And I guess the regional transportation plan will also be following that same track.
So you also will have, Mr. Chairman, a couple of area plans. The one Cindy mentioned from Placer and Washoe's is tentatively scheduled to be before you in February. So going to hit the ground running with on the RPIC next year.
That's good. Now, I do recall Cindy mentioning Placer County. So recent decision, that's good. Okay, and I guess I'm at the final public comment period, Catherine, and I'll read the rules here. Our final matter of business is our general public interest comment period. Any member of the public wishing to address the governing board on any item listed or not listed on the agenda, including items on the consent calendar, may do so at this time. Individuals or groups who have already commented on items listed on the agenda are not permitted to comment on that same topic. The governing board is prohibited by law from taking immediate action on or discussing issues raised by the public during this public comment period. We'll hear comments on any single topic not on the agenda for up to but not to exceed 30 minutes. We will hear as many unique comments as possible. We will hear comments for up to but not more than a total of 60 minutes. All unheard comments can be submitted via email to mambler@trpa.org and will be forwarded to all governing board members. If any member of the public wishes to speak at this time, please raise your hand and go to webinar. You will be unmuted one at a time by TRPA staff who will indicate that you have the floor. So I'll turn it over to Catherine to manage any public comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First up, Julie Reagan, if you want to go ahead.
Julie Reagan is a member of the public.
I just wanted to come in at the end here without delaying further the meeting, just to say happy holidays to everyone. And I wanted to wish Tim and Marcia and Brooke all the best, and thank you all for your service too. I know we had a lot of people jumping in, but your service has meant so much to me in working together over the years, and Bill, your leadership as well. Thank you. And I am in the great state of Delaware, the first state, which is in the news almost every day, in Wilmington, Delaware right now. So I'm coming from you to you 3,000 miles away with holiday wishes. And I hope that everyone is safe and well, and look forward to seeing you more in 2021. And thank you, Julie Reagan, TRPA staff.
Well, thank you, Julie. And that's nice to be in Delaware this time, isn't it? Any other comments, Catherine?
Yes, Nicole Zaborski, you are unmuted on my end. And then also unmute yourself. There you go.
Okay. Hello. Could you just ensure that you can hear me?
Okay, thanks. Awesome. I'm Nicole Zaborski. I'm a board member of the Tahoe Coalition for the Homeless. First off, I'd like to thank you, the governing board, Executive Director Marchetta, and the entire organization for supporting housing for locals and our most vulnerable. The Tahoe Coalition got together 6 years ago now to help people with a need for shelter. It's so important to do this work so that people are safe during killing cold. We've mostly run during the winter season. And then it also relieves the strain from our community that use the jail and emergency department to make it through the night. Just want to let you know that this year things will look differently due to COVID-19 restrictions and safety precautions. We're following the Centers for Disease Control and Housing and Urban Development guidance to prevent spread amongst vulnerable clients and the staff members who serve them. So instead of mass sheltering, we've launched an intensive campaign to secure much needed affordable housing. As you're familiar, and with your collaboration along with the City of South Lake Tahoe, we applied for Project Home Key funding and received an award to purchase 3 single room occupancy properties. To date, 2 of the properties have closed escrow. Big hurrah. Thank you. It's been a lot of work, but it's working. We're excited to partner with you in this undertaking and are excited for all our neighbors experiencing homelessness who have options at this difficult time. I end with a warming anecdote. Upon welcoming folks to their homes this past week, each of them cried. One of them asked, "So when do I need to leave?" To which staff replied, "You can stay indefinitely. You just signed a lease." And just want to let you know from our hearts to yours, thank you and happy holidays.
Lovely. Thank you very much for that. It's happy holidays. I'm glad it's working. And thank you for all your good work.
Mr. Chair, there are no other hands raised to make public comment.
Okay, thank you, Catherine. Okay, I guess we're at the point of adjournment.
Bill, you're breaking up again. We can't hear you.
Bill, holiday season. I hope you're going to be safe, well, and look forward to seeing all of you. And yes.
Thank you, Bill.
Can you not hear me? To adjourn.